Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. This show originally aired on the Premier Network on Saturday, July 13th, 2019. This is episode 1608. Enjoy. The Tech Guy podcast is brought to you by Ahrefs. Whether you work for a big brand or run your own small business, or maybe you do freelance work, getting traffic to your website is always a challenge. Ahrefs is an all-in-one SEO tool set that's here to help and give you the tools you need to rank your website in Google. To get a 7-day trial for only $7, go to ahrefs.com to sign up. A-H-R-E-F-S.com. Well, hey, 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 how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk computers. Yeah. The internet, home theater, digital photography, smartphones. You know all that stuff, the toy store, the tech toy store. 8888 Ask Leo is the phone number. Well, you know, it's not even the toy store anymore, is it? These days, it's the stuff that's changing the world. 888-827-5536, toll free from anywhere in the U.S. or Canada outside that area. Well, of course, you could still reach us. You just have to use Skype or something like that. And I know we have listeners all over the world, so I don't want to discourage you. Just use Skype out. You're going to call a toll-free number, so it shouldn't cost you anything. 8888-ASK-LEO. See? There it is. It's as simple as that. There's a website, techguylabs.com. The number's there. A link to the chat room is there. All the stuff you need to know. And most importantly, the show is there. After the show, I put everything we talked about in there. Actually, James does. James Ruvo writes that down. And so we have text. Also, the audio and video from the show is up there. So really, it's we got everything. It's all up there. TechGuyLabs.com. And best of all, we don't charge you for that. That's free. There's no sign up even. I don't even want your email address. I don't want any of that. A man who was both loved and hated passed away at the age of 93 this week. New York Times obituary today by Katie Hafner. Name I did not know. Fernando Corbato. They called him Corby. I did not know his name. He was at MIT his whole life. Died at the age of 93. Professor Emeritus at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. But here's why he's important to you and me. When he started teaching computing in the early 60s, and I remember this when I went to college even in the early 70s, the computer was a big old thing in the computer science building, usually in the basement on a raised floor, tended to by a priesthood. You didn't get to go and touch the computer. You didn't get to type on its keyboard. Didn't even have a keyboard. If you were lucky, if you were a student in the computer science department, perhaps, maybe, they would let you type out a series of punch cards. Remember those? Do not fold, spindle, and mutilate, those cards with the holes in them. The special machine, you would type your program or your request. You would type it, and it would punch holes in the cards, and you would get a stack of cards, and heaven help you if you dropped them, because they're the worst things to sort. They'd just be a mess. So you'd get this stack of cards and hope you didn't have a typo, because that would screw up the computer too. And you'd bring that carefully wrapped in your hands. Do not fold. Do not spindle. Do not mutilate. To the priest, the high priest of the computer, and say, please, sir, would you run this job for me? And then he'd put you in a queue of a bunch of other jobs. And when one job finished, another would start, and so on. And Dr. Corby didn't, he thought, you know, that's no good. There ought to be a way to use computers interactively. See, nowadays, this is like that's how you use a computer. But they didn't know about that. He created something called CTSS, the Compatible Time-Sharing System. His insight was computers were fast enough that it could, like a chess grandmaster at a simultaneous exhibition, take care of multiple jobs all at once, moving from job to job so quickly that you didn't even notice. While you were thinking, it would handle other people's jobs. While it was waiting for the key press on the teletype, This was huge. This allowed multiple people simultaneously to use a computer through telephone lines. Sure, it was still in a basement, still tended by a priesthood, but at least you didn't have to bring in those punch cards. You could just type it a teletype, and lo and behold, you type a letter, chunk, and it would come back, chunk. You type a question, chunk, 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 and an answer would come back, chunk, 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 chunk. This was a miracle. This was a miracle. No more waiting a day or two to get the answer to your question or the results of your program. You could type it in. In a 1963, this is from the New York Times obituary, 1963 public television interview, Corby described batch processing as infuriating for its inefficiency. He said, the advent of time sharing reinforces the notion, still in its infancy, that computers maybe, just maybe, could be used interactively. It was an idea that would animate the computing field for decades, Katie Hafner writes. Now, that's the good side of Corby. Here's the bad side. Maybe bad side. In order to have multiple people using the computer at the same time, you couldn't let everybody just kind of get on there, access everybody else's files. You had to have a time-sharing system with passwords so that you'd log in, you'd have access to your stuff but nobody else's stuff. Made sense. Passwords. So he also invented the bane of modern computing. He invented modern computing and the bane of modern computing, passwords. We're stuck with both. It's really an amazing fellow we owe a great debt to. Passed away at the age of 93, Dr. Corbato Corby, MIT, who created the modern way of working with a computer. That's pretty cool. And, I had never heard his name, but I wanted to mention that and honor him. Now that it's too late to actually honor him, but mention him anyway. And, yes, of course, you had to also invent the password to make that work. Meanwhile, here we are in the age of AI, artificial intelligence. There's a new computer in town that plays poker, software from Facebook and Carnegie Mellon University. Played 5,000 hands over the internet in against six other players. The bot was called Pluribus, against the best poker players in the world, including 4-time World Poker Tour champion Darren Elias, including Chris Ferguson. In the end, the bot had won many, many games. Finally, a new poker bot can beat, this is real interactivity, multiple champions at the same time, which is kind of surprising because poker has, of course, the element of luck. There's some strategy, but a lot of the strategy relies on reading the humans, doesn't it? Is he bluffing? He looks like he's bluffing. I don't know. Does he really have a pair of aces in there or just a pair of twos? And kind of reading that person, I don't know how a computer would do that. Somehow this bot, and it's AI because it trained against many, playing many, 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 many games. If you said, the researcher at MIT who created Pluribus said, if you sit this bot down with 5 elite professional humans, it's going to beat them and make money off them. This is the gold standard. Well, I'm glad we're bending our intellectual abilities towards important things. Thing is, poker's not like chess. Chess is it's calculable. It's a lot of calculations. Even Go, it's calculable. But poker, you got to think about humans and the mistakes they made. This has taken them longer than chess and Go. The end of a multi-decade effort involving many researchers. Its predecessor, Liberatus, in 2017, was the first program to beat professionals. They're playing No Limit Texas Hold'em. But this is the first time a computer's played against a full table and won again and again and again. I don't know if this means anything. I don't know if it means self-driving cars are coming. I don't know if it means your robot butler will be serving you a drink in the future. But, you think about it. In the 60s, you couldn't use a computer interactively. here we are, what is it, 50, 60 years later, and you can. Maybe in 50 or 60 years, your robot butler will play poker with you. I don't know. I don't know what it means. And remember when Apple talked about on the Apple Watch this walkie-talkie feature a lot. Remember a couple of years ago? It was a big deal. In fact, I went out and got the new Apple Watch just so I'd have walkie-talkie and I could talk to my wife. It was like that Nextel phone. You know, you press a button, talk to them. You don't have to dial a number or anything. We used that for about 2 days before it got really annoying and turned it off. Now Apple has disabled walkie-talkie. Well, and a good thing, because it turns out, and we don't know the details because it's not been revealed, but there's a security flaw that would allow one person to listen to another person's iPhone without their consent using walkie-talkie. What? That's not good. We are not aware, writes Apple, of any use of this vulnerability against a customer, and specific conditions and sequences of events, which we're not going to tell you about, are required to exploit it. But we thought maybe we better turn this off till we can figure it out. Do you use walkie-talkie? If you do, it's not working. They say the walkie-talkie app will remain installed but won't function. We're going to fix it and we'll let you know. This is kind of like the Apple bug earlier with FaceTime, right? That allowed people to use FaceTime to snoop on other people without their knowledge. 8888-ASK-LEO. Those are a couple of the things on my mind this week. You can talk to. We have lots to talk about. Answer your questions at 8888-ASK-LEO. Kim Schaffer is here. She's answering the phones. We would love to hear from you. So give us a ring and let's talk high tech. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, right after this. Dick DiBartolo. I know. He's very sad, and I don't blame him. He's very sad. Yeah. Robert knows Dick. You've been to his, Disneyland, right? Yeah, you went to visit his house, yeah. Oh, well, I don't know. Maybe that's one of the articles said, how can you do satire when everything is so ridiculous? It's like, you can't. But I think you can. I think you can. It is the end of an era. And
can you do a joke on a joke?
Yeah, it is, right? That's hard, right? Yeah. It's already such a joke that you can't. There's nothing more to joke about. Oh, my, my. It's a miracle. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, with the unbreakable Kimmy Schaffer. And you know what? Kimmy, no take no Schaffer.
I just heard there's a new season of that.
Is there? I love that
coming
show.
On.
I love that show.
Yeah. So I guess I'm going to have to go back and binge watch all of the seasons because I haven't seen anything since the first season.
I like it. There's a, I don't want to spoil it for anybody who hasn't watched it. Watch it. It's a great show.
It's a great show. And the first season was so good. But my problem with all these shows is there's too many of them. But there's a year or two lag time between the seasons. And then I just...
In my day...
I've moved on to something else.
A show would come out once a week.
Yeah.
And you'd gather together on a Sunday night to watch it.
That's back in my day, too.
Remember Game of Thrones when everybody was watching that every Sunday night? Remember that in those days? The good old days? Remember back then?
But I think of even the Friday night lineup that I used to watch as a kid, like Family Matters and Full House and these things. And kids don't have that anymore. There's no Friday night programming or
Saturday morning cartoons,
yeah,
right?
There's none of that exists.
Well, that's because they're all watching YouTube.
I guess. Yeah, they don't care. They watch cat videos on YouTube. Yeah. Or
the difference is that there isn't one thing the whole nation does together anymore. It's all kind of fragmented.
Super Bowl Sunday, but
yeah, that's about it. There are a few things, but that's I remember. I just make myself sound old, but I remember when you'd get up in the morning and you'd go to work and you'd all be talking about Johnny Carson's monologue from the night before. You have to be of a certain age to even know who that person is.
You had to stay up really late to see
I don't
that
think
too.
People go to work and say, "Did you see what PewDiePie did last night?"
No.
They don't say
that.
And
if they did, I'd smack them.
And smack them. So you've been answering the phones all morning long, building up a backlog of calls for me to take. Who should I start with?
Terry in Southern California. We won't specify what city he's in because he's got a question for you that might actually stump you before his real question.
A mystery.
But I kind of felt like I had to Google his question when he asked me it. So,
well, if you can Google it, you don't need
but
me.
But I don't know if it'll give him an answer, because he probably Googled it and couldn't get an answer.
Let's not mention the Google. The Google is the bane of my existence. Right. No, someday you'll be able to. You can ask your voice assistant instead of the tech guy, and then what'll I be doing? I'll be watching Stranger Things reruns.
Well, did you hear the what was it? Oh, ask your Amazon thing to sing a Justin Bieber song or something.
Please, let's not.
Yeah.
I beg you.
She sings along with like his latest hit.
That's pretty funny.
It's Ed Sheeran. Sorry. Maybe
I like Ed Sheeran. Yeah. Now, they're trying to make these things more human, right?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, all the headlines say Amazon's storing everything you ever said to your Echo, and unless you ask it to delete it, and then the Google's saying, oh, yeah, by the way, we're saving all your recordings, and we're playing them for humans, and oh, man. That's the thing, is they're trying to fight this news cycle by saying, oh, but it sings Justin Bieber songs. What could possibly be wrong with that? It's cute.
Yeah.
What am I doing
have
here?
Have we blown through this whole break again like we did?
No, I got a minute. I got a minute.
Terry in Southern California.
Thank you. Hello, Terry. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Jeez, I only got a minute?
No, I'm kidding you. You got 2.5.
Okay. Hey, first of all, you and Kim just made me really sad because talking about Saturday morning cartoons,
yeah.
I didn't even discover Looney Tunes until I was in my 20s.
And you know who I have in studio with me? The guy, right now he's in studio with me, the guy who wrote the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie. And Bob, what's it, Bob?
Herbeck.
I always forget your last. Sorry, Bob, because I know you as Bob. Bob Herbeck's in studio. And these are the classics. And I don't know what kids do nowadays. They all get together on a Saturday morning and watch YouTube? That doesn't sound like fun. Anyway, what can I do for you?
Well, here's my mystery question for
yes.
you. And then I do have a fast tech question as well. I live on a street called Petaluma. And I've never been able to find
I live in a town called Petaluma.
Although Ms. Google told me it's something to do with being on the hillside of possibly
yeah.
Mount Sonoma.
Yeah.
I've never heard of it.
Well, for the longest time, I've lived in Petaluma since my daughter was about a year old. She's 27 now, so 26 years. And for the longest time, people said, no one knows what it means. No one knows. But apparently, I guess the latest, according to Wikipedia, the Indians who lived here, the Native Americans who lived here, that was a Native American word that meant on the hillside. I don't know if I buy that. I think that's something somebody made up and put in Wikipedia later. Because for years, people said its origins are lost in the fog of mystery of the past. So you take
so apparently,
but you live on Petaluma Street.
Mystery.
You know what it is? It means the developer of wherever you live lived in Petaluma or had a nostalgic thought about it. Because I don't know of any other Petalumas.
I don't either, and all I know is anytime I order something on the phone, I always have to spell my street.
Uh-huh. Welcome to my world.
Well, speaking of your world, since
yes.
we're coming up on Amazon Prime Day,
the 16th.
I think a lot of people are probably wondering about this, too. I have a Chromecast that I cast to my primary TV. I want to buy something else to cast to my TV in my home office, and I don't know anything about Fire Sticks, Roku. What would you recommend?
Chromecast works differently than either the Fire Sticks or the Roku. They're substantively different technology. And, oh, by the way, I don't know if Amazon is – I guess they are selling Chromecast again. There was a feud for a long time between Amazon and Google. Yeah, that's back on. Chromecast, you know what? I want to take a break because I need to, as you can tell. But it's a longer conversation because the technologies are completely different. So when we come back, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. It's actually a good topic to do with Scott. It's kind of a home theater topic. So Chromecast, I like a lot, but the way a Chromecast works is you have to have another device. It doesn't stand on its own. So you can't on your TV, as you can with a Roku or Apple TV or Fire TV, on those are really little computers that are plugged into your HDMI port. You choose that HDMI port and you'll see a menu, a user interface, and you'll be able to choose Netflix or Amazon Prime or whatever you want to watch. So that's like plugging a little computer in that's hooked up to the internet. And they were originally created basically for smart TVs that didn't have network interfaces. And the original TVs didn't have any Ethernet or Wi-Fi. Nowadays, TVs often have the same capabilities built in. They call those smart TVs. I still prefer Roku or Apple TV. Fire TV I'm not as crazy about because it is basically an ad for Amazon, so it really features Amazon stuff above all others. The Chromecast is a little thing that's designed to be take over from your phone or laptop or tablet. So you
or PC.
Yeah. Or desktop, I guess. Yeah. So the idea of a Chrome, and you know because you use it, is you go on your computer, whether it's a mobile or desktop, you go on your computer to Netflix, and then if the app that you're using or the website that you're using has a Chromecast button, you press it, it does a handoff to the Chromecast. Now, at that point, the Chromecast is autonomous. It starts streaming. You can turn off the phone, laptop, desktop. It doesn't matter because the Chromecast is now doing its own thing. But it doesn't have a user interface. You have to cast to it from a device. So that's the chief difference. It also means the Chromecast is kind of infinitely expandable because if you're using Google Chrome on a computer, you can always cast Chrome. So anything you can play back in Chrome, you can play on a Chromecast.
Exactly. But as somebody who's looking, who's dreaming about the day when I can finally cut the cord with Frontier, would you recommend
Roku?
You would go with Roku.
Yeah, I think Roku might even have a Frontier app. They have apps for several, maybe not Frontier, Spectrum.
Oh, I know. I don't want to stay with Frontier.
No, but I'm just saying as an interim thing, you can even use it to access your cable provider. But ultimately, yeah, the Roku is, I think, has the best selection of channels. The only thing the Roku does not have is Apple. It doesn't have iTunes. So if you're going to buy movies or rent movies and TV shows from Apple or play music from Apple, you need to have an Apple TV, although that's changing too. They just did a deal with a number of TV manufacturers to put Apple TV in the TVs. So Apple may be letting go of that. I wouldn't be surprised someday to see an Apple TV app on the Roku. But for
believe it or not, I've never purchased an Apple product.
Then you don't care. Then Roku's absolutely the better choice for you. So get a Roku. They're cheap. If you think you're going to get a 4K TV at any point, get the top-of-the-line Roku Ultra that does 4K.
Right.
You want that anyway because it's a faster computer. It's just a better device. Some of these devices are underpowered. The sticks I love for convenience, but they're underpowered to get them in that small thing. And they also overheat. So, but you can look at the Roku site and see a bunch of Rokus. I think they really go with the stick now as their preferred form factor. It's not mine, but that's what they're trying to sell. But the key to the Roku is the software. That's what's really awesome. And they really do a good job. Yeah, look, all of these are sticks. Jeez Louise. I'm on the Roku site. The Roku Ultra is the only... That's the one I'd get. It's $100. That's also half the price of an Apple TV. And again, the Fire TV is very much like a Roku, but it is subservient to Amazon's business interests, which I think is problematic.
And that's the problem I have with Alexa is, first of all, she doesn't even know what Petaluma means. And secondly, anything I ask her, if it doesn't relate.
It's about Amazon, man. Yeah, well, you can't. I mean, that's their business. Everything's, someday we're all going to be about Amazon. It's time for the bump to hump, the hump to bump, the shakabaka-laka-waka-baka of Scott Wilkinson, our home theater geek. Hello, Scott. He's dancing. He's singing. Welcome. Hey, let's wait a minute. Now, do I have you? Go ahead. Speak a little bit.
Test one.
Oh, yeah. You're good. Okay. Wow.
The video's still quite delayed.
But you know, you were so good last week, and now the delay is back. So I don't know what's going on.
I've got a suggestion for you on that. Let's talk about that offline.
Okay, good. Nobody cares. It's a radio show.
It's a radio show.
Who cares? Do you care, radio audience, that his lip sync is bad? No. But I'm on a Skype call. You know, the new thing with the FaceTime, did you see that, where the FaceTime, even though you're looking down, makes it look like you're looking at the camera? It's kind of weird and creepy. Yeah. It does.
Uses that is kind of creepy.
Augmented reality to reposition your eyeballs.
Oh, man.
Is that weird?
That's weird.
Computers are getting too powerful. So real quickly, because this was our call, Terry wanted to know about the difference between Chromecast, Roku, and Apple TV and Fire TV. And everything but the Chromecast is just a little computer. It has a user interface. It has a remote control. You put it into your TV on the HDMI port. Your TV becomes the screen for that computer, and they have apps for watching TV.
Right.
The Chromecast just is a weird, different idea, and I don't know how much longer Google's going to do this, but the Chromecast works with your computer, your phone, your tablet, your desktop, your laptop, and you use that as the user interface. So you will go to Netflix on your phone, start playing a movie, and then press the Chromecast button. It does a handoff to the Chromecast, which takes over and plays. I don't know why that's better. I don't even, you know, after we describe it this way, you might say, well, that's goofy. The only advantage of the potential for the Chromecast is it can stream anything that you can see in a Chrome browser.
Right.
And so that means it's potentially a little bit more, you know, anything you could watch in a browser, you could see on your TV. So that's the advantage of that.
Yep. I agree.
Yeah. So, Scott.
Yes. I wanted to tell you about an adventure I had last week.
What was it?
I went to Vegas and I saw the Aerosmith residency.
Oh, how fun.
Yeah. And the reason I got invited to go is that they're using some really interesting technology in the live show. So it's at the Park MGM, which used to be the Monte Carlo. And they built a brand new theater, 5,200-seat auditorium, for, among other things, the residency of Aerosmith, you know, this famous rock band that's been around for 50 years.
Well, that's good, too, because it's a little harder for Steve Tyler to get around these days.
Now, yeah, since he had knee replacement surgery a few years ago.
So he doesn't have to move around so much.
But I got to tell you, he has not lost a step.
Oh,
he
I
is still rocking it. It's amazing.
Yeah.
But here's the cool thing. Two cool things about this show. One is you're sitting out in the audience. Normally in a rock concert, you have a couple of big columns of speakers hung above the stage. And if you're sitting off center, you only hear one of them, basically. Well, this new Aerosmith residency uses basically an immersive sound system like Dolby Atmos or DTS:X, but intended for live performances. They got speakers all around the theater, including overhead, and object-based, it basically allows the mixer to move things around the room, sonic objects. It's very cool.
You know, they Cirque du Soleil did something like this with their Love, their Beatles tribute.
Yep.
That even has speakers in your seat.
Yes.
And it really, I thought, did a good job of making that sound completely ambient. You don't sense that it is, you know, you're on the left side of the stage or anything like that.
Yeah, exactly right. That's exactly
does
right.
That well, this does that ruin the idea the of perform? Thing. It made sense for the Cirque du Soleil because it's theater in the round and they're all over the place. But here you have a band performing on stage. Do you lose the sense of them being in front of you, to the left or to the right?
No, I don't think so. Because the main speakers in front of you, there's instead of two columns, there are nine. So there's a lot of sound coming at you from the front.
You have that sound pressure meter. Did you bring it?
I did.
How loud was it?
It was brutal.
So where are your earplugs?
I was in the audience for about half an hour, and I measured during that time, the average level during that half hour was almost 108 dB.
Okay. That's roughly a jet airplane taking off?
Well, not quite. But
a jackhammer? CDC,
the CDC, Centers for Disease Control, and OSHA both say that could be permanently damaging in 5 to 15 minutes.
Oh, so wow. That's terrible.
And
That should be illegal.
Well, I think so, too. But there are no standards. There are standards for movie sound, but there are no standards for live concert sound.
As you know, I'm kind of a fan of the Vegas residencies. We always go down. We saw Gaga. We've actually been to that theater.
I'd love to see the Gaga show.
Yeah, we saw J-Lo in that theater. And then after J-Lo, somebody else took that theater over. So that's a nice theater. I know it's a nice space. But, of course, when you know you're going to have a big draw like Aerosmith there night after night, you can put some money into renovating that theater specifically for that act. And I think
that's exactly what they did.
It's the best way to see somebody you really like. Gaga was amazing.
Oh, I can't wait to see that. She is actually using, on one of her shows anyway, she has two there, one of them using a similar immersive sound system to what Aerosmith is using from a company called L Acoustics.
So this is the new thing. The other thing I noticed, and I don't know if they do it as in Vegas as much, But I see this a lot in stadium concerts, is these fantastic projector systems they're using that make it so much simpler. Instead of having to bring lots of set pieces with them, they can project all this stuff. It looks just as real, and it's much more dynamic.
And then the Aerosmith concert does a lot of that. They've got some real physical things that they're doing on stage as well. The other aspect, though, that I want to make sure I mention is if you pay enough money for your ticket, you can actually sit on stage with Aerosmith during the show.
That would be fun.
Even better, they give you a pair of in-ear monitors and a little iPod.
Oh, thank goodness.
The audio is projected, is broadcast over a dedicated Wi-Fi network.
Yeah.
And you can adjust and control the level that you're listening
Much
to.
Much better.
And you can choose whether you're listening to the main house mix or Steven Tyler's monitor mix.
Oh, I'd love that. You can flip back and forth.
It's so cool.
So this was, I think, pioneered by a small indie band called Umphrey's McGee, where they would have a special area where you would have headphones that were fed from the soundboard wirelessly.
No, I had forgotten that, but you're exactly right. Yeah. I had forgotten that.
Yeah.
They did pioneer it. Well, now you can do it at Aerosmith.
I might do that. I might do that. That would be really
fun.
Now,
you know, you're on the side of the stage, so you can't see, you know, the visuals from the front. And you don't get the immersive object.
Well, you have to go twice, clearly. You have to go back.
Well, I was fortunate enough. I experienced some of the show in the audience, and then I went to the side stage and experienced that. Now, ticket prices. Those side stage tickets start at $800. Yeah,
that's not a surprise. You know, good tickets to even a normal stadium show now are hundreds and hundreds of dollars. It's really outrageous what's happened to concert tickets.
Yeah, I agree.
I feel bad because I think a lot of young people who love music, maybe even more than us old folks, are priced out. You know?
Yeah, I'm afraid that's true. I'm afraid that's
true. They have to do with the opera does. They have standing room only seats that haven't sold, seats that haven't sold for students day of. They need to do that. For the students of Steven Tyler and Aerosmith.
Right.
I'm a student of early 70s rock and roll. Scott Wilkinson, he writes all about this stuff. Home theater geek, we call him. He's a contributor at techhive.com and joins us every week to talk home theater. Always a pleasure. I'm jealous. I want to go down and see that show now, too.
Yeah.
I think at some point we're just moving to Vegas and we're living in the theaters there. It's such good shows. Thank you, Scott. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
So, hey, everybody. Nice to see you. Swanee, thank you so much for putting in the link to my Aerosmith article. Thank you, Tech Dino. I appreciate that very much. I'll have to, Mike Heiss, you're in the chat room. Let's communicate about getting Leo hooked up with Ken, so that maybe we can solve this problem. I mean, I do need to upgrade my laptop. It's a number of years old. So, it might be time to do that, and that might solve the problem because I still need to do it anyway. But we don't know. Deuces Are Wild. Yep, that's the name of the Aerosmith show, Webster. Valvi, do you know when Yuba plays the Roomba on the tuba? Yes, I do know that song. I can't summon the music at the moment, but I do know that. I didn't know that it was written by the same guy who wrote As Time Goes By. Mike B, I could just try reformatting first. Yeah, I suppose I could do that. Might be some unknown app causing the problem. I suppose that's true. There's nothing running on my computer except Skype, XChat, and a web browser. There's nothing else running on this computer. So I don't think it's a bunch of stuff doing something nefarious. UJ, what was your experience with the IEMs at the Aerosmith concert? Did any external sound leak into your hearing and possibly cause conflict? Yes. Yes, sound did leak in. I had good seal. The IEMs are from One More. They're called the triple drivers. I should have mentioned that on the air. Sorry, I didn't. But the I had my favorite ear tips, and so it had a good seal. But there was, I mean, on the stage, the average was like 105 dB, so it was still
That's terrible.
And a lot of stuff getting through my even the in-ear.
Stick around for the top.
You bet.
Thanks. That's not my story. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 88. Ask Leo. Line 4, Mason in Wildomar, California. Hello, Mason.
Hello. How are you, Leo?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. You know, I had a little insight into the poker bot. So I was a poker and blackjack dealer for 15 years.
Yeah.
And one of my friends was very successful playing online using a program that him and his friend, I don't know if they really designed it, but they designed the database for it. And I'm quite sure PokerBot is doing this.
Interesting. So, you would know this. Playing online is very different from playing in person, isn't it?
Now, this guy played every day in the casino, too, and was one of the best players I've ever seen at 15 years of being a dealer. So
we're talking about, in case you just tuned in, we're talking about a story that there is a bot designed by Facebook engineers that can beat the best poker players in the world consistently, make money at it. But I do note that that was done online. And so one of the ways real poker players play is by looking at the tells, by looking at what's going on. That's why you'll sometimes see people in hoodies with sunglasses. Is that the case, you think? Is that a big disadvantage?
No, and this is why. So, yeah, that's part of the game. You're absolutely right. But a much bigger part of reading the player is simply reading their habits.
Yes.
And the computer is going to be far
better
at that. So
perfectly,
this real-time database my friend used to use, what it would do, and it was perfectly legal. It was information he was allowed to have. He just found a better way to manage it. So what it would do is it would catalog tons of information about the players he was playing against.
Yeah.
And so so let's say he's sitting there and he's on the dealer button, and one guy's done a minimum call, and it's the big blind is the only one left after that. And he would get this information that would basically say, well, this guy is 96% to fold if you raise, and the big blind is 87% to fold if you raise. And so there's no thinking involved. He's going to raise. I'm quite sure the bot's doing the same thing.
That makes sense.
The longer the game goes on, the bigger the edge the bot has because it's cataloging more and more.
Even more. Right.
Yeah.
How good are the best players at observing their habits and changing them?
It's hard to change
it. It is.
Against another person, it might work, but I mean,
that's really interesting.
Eventually, is even going to catch that. So basically, it would be like a player that is just able to not miss a single thing at the table.
Yeah. That's right.
What the computer's able to do.
So
not a single raise or fold or what these players are likely to do in certain situations.
So really what this is telling us in a nutshell is, of course, there's the luck of the draw, there's cards, there's strategy and so forth. But ultimately, humans are predictable. And a computer can notice this and take advantage of it.
That's almost exactly right. And the computer's probably also going to, I don't want to say be more conservative, but like let's say a human's thinking the same thing. Well, Chris Ferguson almost always folds his blind,
right.
So I'm going to raise 3/4 of my stack.
Right.
Well, that's a big mistake because if he does have something, you just committed 3/4 of your stack.
That's right.
Well, the computer's probably not going to make those kind of mistakes either. It's just going to put in a medium-sized raise knowing that, well, if he really has something, I have no chance. So if he calls, then I didn't lose that much money.
I'm not a serious player at all. I love poker, but I'm not a serious player at all. But I would guess that the human poker player's biggest nemesis is exactly that, is overconfidence or underconfidence, is emotions. I know they try to control them, but we're human. And so those are the mistakes the humans make. Combine that with the predictability of humans, eliminate the mistakes, know exactly what a human's likely to do, I guess you couldn't lose.
And I mean, my friend David's exacts were, and he made tons of way more money playing online than he did in the casino, and he made money in both places. But his exact words were, 85% of the time or more, the computer makes the choice for me. I don't even have to think about
it.
Because of all this information it was giving him about the other players every time they'd enter a hand.
As this guy's worked in casinos, you think it's easier to win online or easier to win in a casino? At the table.
I I think it's easier to win in the casino at the table. That's not true for everybody. I'm a fairly conservative player, and so when I come into a hand at a casino table, most players recognize my face and that I haven't played a lot of hands and that I'm putting money in the pot, and so they tend to get out. A lot of them get out of the way, and I end up getting a one or two or three way situation where I have a good chance of winning. Where online, I don't see that as much.
Yeah.
Because the players, they don't put together this guy's tight. This, you know, they don't see your face. They don't put that kind of stuff together. They just
yeah. So there's hard. Information that you are missing when you're online.
Absolutely, and I don't think the computer is missing it as much as the people are, but the computer is playing against real people, right? Not,
yeah.
not online, or is it online?
Yeah. All I know about poker, I learned on Rounders. And the number one thing I learned on Rounders is look around the table. If you don't see the fish, then you're the fish. So, and I'm...
probably one of the only true things in that movie.
If you can't spot the sucker in the first half hour at the table is the exact quote, then you are the sucker. And I'm the sucker every time. Hey, it's nice to talk to you. Thanks for giving us some insight into how that works. That makes a lot of sense, Mason.
All right.
I appreciate it. Well, take care. That makes so much sense. In fact, we know this. Computers are really good at this. One of the things computers are doing, like this, we're about to enter an era, I think, where we underestimate. We've got it all wrong about artificial intelligence. We've got it all wrong. We're worried that machines are going to become conscious, and that they're going to take over. Like they're going to acquire human attributes. They're going to become ambitious or evil. No. There's no. We don't. Maybe that's true, but we don't know of any path from accumulating huge amounts of information to consciousness. It's not an automatic thing. It's not a jump that just happens. Oh, you get a certain amount of information. Artificial intelligence, somehow you're conscious. We don't know that. That's a big leap. On the other hand, we already are seeing the real threat, in my opinion, from artificial intelligence, which is things like face recognition. Computers can now, if you can aim a laser at somebody from hundreds of feet away, literally several football fields away, that laser can, not the kind of laser you used to, the red light, the red dot, but that laser can pick up sound. Can pick up somebody's heartbeat, for instance. Turns out your heartbeat is as unique or more than your fingerprint. So computers can identify people at great distances, not just with face recognition, but with heartbeat recognition. And we also know gait recognition. The real threat is not that some machine is going to know who you are at 1,000 feet. It's that some human is going to use that machine against you at 1,000 feet. That's the real threat. It's not the artificial intelligence itself. It's the people who use it. And we're starting to see really these computer capabilities mature. You know, poker playing computer today, a computer that can figure out all the people who are Jewish in a country tomorrow. And that's what's most scary. Not the computer, but the people using it, in my opinion. But, you know. We're heading down that road anyway. I don't know what you're going to do. We talk a lot. I mean, everybody talks about, well, you know, the FTC just approved the largest fine in the history of technology, $5 billion against Facebook, not because of the information it gathers, not because it sells ads against that information, but because of how the information it gave, it didn't keep close enough track and it gave it to Cambridge Analytica. $5 billion fine. We talk a lot about, well, maybe we can regulate, you know, artificial intelligence and keep it from becoming dangerous. I don't think you can. I don't know if you can. The way the founders designed our Constitution is way too slow to keep up with technology. They don't have the knowledge to do it, and I don't know if you could do it well. So, good news. We're going to find out. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Mike B suggested that Chrome might be causing some problems.
Well, you're not using Chrome, are you?
I am. I was, but I just quit out of it. And
now
actually
it's perfect.
It's certainly a lot better.
No, it's perfect. So
is it really?
Yeah. Thank you, Mike B. You fixed it. Yeah, Chrome's
wow.
A pig. Oh, you were using Chrome just to read notes or something?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I had it up for I had it on my Aerosmith article in case I needed to refer
Makes
to
sense.
It.
Okay. So generally, I guess don't use this computer for anything but Skype would be the best advice. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Okay. Right now, all I'm running is Skype and the chat room. There's the only app.
Yeah, I don't think the chat room's too bad. Wow, Mike B., well done.
Yeah, thanks, Mike B.
All yours, my friend.
Thank you very much. Yes, I am in sync. Woohoo! Burn in hell, Chrome, says Kalu. I had a few tabs open. Yeah, it's true. It's true. So, yes, thank you to whoever it was posted the link to my article about the Aerosmith concert. I was quite happy to see how those photos turned out. It was a great, great fun show. Boy, sitting on the stage, though, as I said, $800 minimum for a seat on the stage to watch. The cool thing is that the band actually interacts with those people. Steven Tyler, you know, takes selfies with people, and Joe Perry threw a bunch of pics into the crowd. There's also a bar on the stage, on the side of the stage, one on each side, actually. It's not an open bar for $800 or more. The top price of the ticket on that stage area is $2,500. That had better be an open bar if you ask me. But you do get to keep the one more triple driver in-ear monitors that you get, which is very cool. And they're wonderful in-ear monitors. So let's see. What was the encore tune? The encore tune was Walk This Way, of course. Actually, Dream On. There were three encore tunes. Dream On, Chip Away, and Walk This Way. So, and that was, you know, they still rock it, man. They really do. Yes, they call it VIP seating, Robert Bigelow. That's exactly right. That's what they call it. Mike B., I apologize for taking away your excuse to get a new computer. I need one anyway. This thing is now several years old. So I've been kind of waiting for the next generation of MacBooks because I really didn't want to get one of those butterfly keyboards. That was that's one reason I've been holding out. And I believe the next generation that's just about to come out doesn't use the butterfly keyboard. Please correct me if I'm wrong. Or maybe they stopped using it some time ago and I could have gotten one by now. I haven't followed it that closely. Am I, Mike? Walk This Way, sung by John Cleese. You know, a good friend of mine was reading a book about the origin of some popular songs. And they, in fact, he reported to me that he read in this book that the Aerosmith song, Walk This Way, the title, Steven Tyler and whoever else wrote the song had the music more or less down, but they didn't have the lyrics. And somebody mentioned the, I believe it's Young Frankenstein, the Mel Brooks movie, where Igor says to somebody, walk this way, and he walks in his weird way, and then the other people walk in that weird way. And Steven Tyler said, oh, great, we'll use that. And so they called the song Walk This Way. That was what this book reported anyway. So that's what I understand. So Knox Harrington says, the newest butterfly keyboards don't have a lot of the same issues, but yeah, scissor keyboards are coming back in the next generation. Good. Scooter X says, next year for non-butterfly keyboard MacBook Pro, the current models just announced have third-gen butterfly. Is third-gen butterfly significantly better? I assume it is from what Knox said. That's kind of what I'm waiting for. If it's next year, if it's a whole nother year from now, maybe I won't wait that long. Thank you, Mick. I sure appreciate that. I sure do appreciate that. I enjoy being here tremendously. Young Frankenstein, Chumley. Exactly. What hope? yes, exactly. So that's the story from this book, anyway, that my friend told me about that he was reading, where the title and for Walk This Way came from. So let's see. I got 4 minutes left. Anybody got anything for me? Tech Dino, I told you the Encore tunes. Scrolling back up here. Somebody said something about Idlewild. Desert Moon and Waikiki Guru. We're talking about Idlewild. And Idlewild, California, is certainly one of my favorite places. My parents actually helped found and start the Idlewild School of Music and the Arts, otherwise known as ISAMATA, which was an extension campus of USC where they were music students at the time. And so I've been up to Idlewild many times and really love it up there. They had some bad fires last fire season, so I'm hoping they're doing okay. Frankenstein. Oh, yes, Mike B. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Gary is asking, how are the Samsung QLED? They're quite good, at least the ones that have backlighting rather than edge lighting. And that would be the Q90R, maybe the Q80. The lower ones have edge lighting, and I don't like them as well. But the Q90R was in the flat panel shootout in New York last month, and it looked really good. Not as good as the OLEDs. I'm still an OLED. I have a preference for OLED. But the Samsung looked better than the Sony Z9F. Better blacks. Blacks were a little crushed, and that couldn't be fixed, apparently, by the calibrators. But colors look great. It was plenty bright. I liked it a lot. Desert Moon says the roads are pretty much open now. Well, that's good. I'm glad. UJ, any upcoming movies I'm looking forward to seeing and hearing in Dolby Vision? Yes, I didn't see Toy Story 4 when it was first out, but I hope to see it sometime relatively soon, because I think that would probably look really good. Lawn Dog has something. We have something in common in Idlewild. His great grandfather started the water company and the first real estate company. Wow! And his uncle was a postmaster. Wow! Very cool. Let's see. Lou MM says, yeah, Waikiki Guru. Let's see. Lawn Dog, Lou NM is saying, looking for an outdoor theater. Do I know these items? So I'm going to click on that. And it's going to bring up Chrome because that's my default. Sorry about that.
You're on a Mac, use Safari. It's so much faster and lighter weight.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
your sync is now gone. Completely shot.
See? Wow, we know exactly what the problem is.
Mike B. figured it out. Thank you, Mike B. Ooh. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Time to talk computers, the internet, home theater, digital photography. We got your smartphones. We got your smart watches. We got all that jazz. 8888-ASK-LEO. That's the phone number. 888-827-5536. Toll free from anywhere in the U.S. or Canada. We'd love to hear from you. Website is techguylabs.com. Chat room, which always is going on behind the scenes, irc.twit.tv. Let's get back to the phones. Joe, Greenville, South Carolina. Hello, Joe.
Yes, sir, Leo. I called last week about getting my phone upgraded from an older operating system.
And did you get it upgraded?
Yeah, well, no, I haven't. I found a couple of phones that I like, and I wanted to ask your opinion.
Okay.
I found one, the Verizon and Sprint have a A50 Samsung phone.
Yeah, so all of the...
Really nice for the price.
Yeah, that's the key, is for the price. All of the carriers will carry junky Samsung phones. Mm-hmm. Because they want to be able to offer a free or low-cost phone.
This one doesn't seem like a junky one because it's got full HD resolution, I mean,
well, all phones sold today have full HD resolution. That's just 1080p. That's generally the kind of the standard.
Well, the G7 only has 720p.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you, if you looked at them side by side, you probably wouldn't notice the difference. But anyway, that's also because it's a smaller screen. This has a fairly big screen. It's a 6.4-inch screen, which is pretty big.
Yep. I'm on the T-Mobile, and I found one on
They Amazon. Actually, T-Mobile should have also have the Samsung A50. There's a GSM version.
I called them, and they don't even...
They don't do it, huh?
...know if they're going to get it.
Yeah, okay.
I found an international version on Amazon.
Yeah.
And didn't know the pros and cons about getting an unlocked GSM.
As long as it's GSM, it'll run fine on T-Mobile. You do want to look, you know, a lot of times on the listing, the risk on the internet, a couple of things with the international. One is you're not going to, service and support is different, so you may not get the service you expect. The other thing on that is that the radios may be different. All over the world, radio frequencies vary. So if you get a phone designed for Europe and the Middle East, it may not have the same frequencies as a phone in the U.S.
Yeah.
Usually it will work, but it may not work exactly as well. It may not support LTE, might only support, you know, 3G, that kind of thing. So it's a good idea if you can to look at the frequencies and see if you can match the frequencies to the ones that T-Mobile, I presume T-Mobile is the carrier you want. Yeah.
Yes,
so now, yeah, I'm looking at the A50. It's not a bad phone. It's fine. Like I said, all companies, almost all companies, not Apple, but almost everybody else, tries to make some lower-end phones that they can sell as come-ons to the phone store. The problem I have is I only buy the flagship phones, the most expensive phones. I understand most people aren't going to spend $1,000 on a phone. And so when I say it's junky, I'm just saying, well, it ain't an S10. But yeah, you're absolutely right. It's fine. It has here are the things you want to make sure you're going to get. The latest version of Android, and this is Android 9.0. Android 10 is in development, but not out yet. You can do a public beta, but not the release version. This phone came out in the spring, so it's a fairly recent hardware, including an Exynos processor, which is Samsung's own personal version of the Qualcomm processor we mostly use in the United States. It has a lot of RAM, actually, and a very large battery. So I think this is probably going to be okay. I'm looking at the camera. That might be one. Well, maybe not. It's got a triple lens, which is kind of like the S10. Hey, you know, this A50 looks all right. I would read some reviews. I haven't really looked at this phone because it's a mid range. But this is for a mid range phone. This is not bad. Probably comparable to the Moto. Couple of things you're going to look for, and I'm not sure who's better at this point, is how quickly they get the updates. Not only do you want the latest version of Android, that's the most important thing, but there's security patches every month now from Google. I'm on a Galaxy S10, their most expensive phone. Well, maybe not now that the Fold is about to come out, or the Note 10, but for the moment, the most expensive phone. And it hasn't been updated since May. Even though we're here in July. And that's not good. I should have at least the June update. The July update is out for some phones. Now, that's because I'm using an unlocked. If some carriers have already pushed it out. So I don't. That's one issue. You don't want to get too far behind in those updates because, you know, as we've spoken about before, updates, security patches are important to apply as soon as they're available. The other side of that is I don't know what Motorola is. Either. The only people who really get updates all the time for Android are Google themselves, the Pixels. So if you're interested in a Note 10, by the way, Samsung has sent out the invitations. I got one, but it's in New York, so I don't think I'll be going to their event, which will be in August, be next month, August 7th, the Galaxy Note 10 launch. I know a lot of people with Note love the Note. I've owned every Note since the first one, and I was early on this because people said, that's too big, that phone. I think the original Note was 5.6 inches or something. Compare this to the A50 we were just talking about, which is 6.4 inches. But that's too big. You know, who would want a phone like that? But I love the big phones. I am a little worried, however. There's a leak of a photo of the Note 10. It looks pretty official. It comes from EvLeaks, who's usually pretty good. Does not have a headphone jack. That worries me. Maybe not you. Maybe you don't care. Maybe you don't care. Maybe you don't need a headphone jack. I think the reason I stick with Samsung is because they stick with a headphone jack. I like headphone jacks. Thank you very much. Google doesn't do them anymore. Apple doesn't do them anymore. And I'm afraid Samsung might be joining that silly train. The silly headphone jackless train. I would be very disappointed to see that. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to tell you which phone is the best, Joe, but I think that looks like a pretty good phone. T-Mobile probably has something comparable, I would ask them. The advantage of getting it from the T-Mobile store, if you're a T-Mobile customer, is you got somewhere to bring it back to. If you buy it on Amazon, unlocked, international version, getting repairs is going to be really difficult. Maybe not even possible. So that's the thing to think about. If that phone, you get that out of the box, it's a lemon. If you're at you got it at a T-Mobile store, it's easy. You bring it in, they go, oh, sorry, here's a new one. I don't know what you would do if you got it unlocked from Amazon. 8888 Ask Leo. What do you think? Do you think a headphone jack is a necessity in a modern phone? I think so. Let's talk. I'm just baffled by this run away from the headphone jack. Why do people slavishly follow Apple's trends? Why? Well, there's an iPhone right here, but Apple claims they don't have room for a headphone jack, but somehow Samsung crams one in. I think it's just BS.
Samsung's getting rid of it too?
Well, maybe on the Note 10, but I have an S10, which is wonderful. It's my favorite phone. Actually,
when I first met you, I brought you my Samsung, and when I would send an email or get an email from somebody, it would say unknown.
Oh, I remember that. Did you ever figure that out?
Nobody ever could figure out.
Oh, it's just corrupted, I guess. A corrupted contact list, I guess.
I mean, that phone's sitting at home.
But newer phones haven't had that problem.
I went to this. Verizon gave me this iPhone.
Nice.
Said, try the iPhone. They didn't charge me for it. See if it works.
Wow. You must have been a pain in the butt.
No, I just called. I try to get a hold of the CEO, but I get the person next door, and you get a lot done.
That's the best thing to do.
Always.
Do you pull the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle card? Huh? Do you pull the TMNT card?
I'm just telling you. I get online if I do.
That's always the best way to do it.
With Frontier, as we all know.
What a nightmare. What a nightmare that has turned out to be.
I from the executive office. I said, you guys are in over your head, and he said, we are.
Oh, well.
He did.
Now, there you go.
From the president's office.
Said, yes, we're in over our head.
No, I'll get on my phone like to call you. I can't get it to ring through. Or you'll call. You and I are talking, and you go, Bobby, are you there?
Yeah.
And it's crazy.
Yeah. It's because cell phones are no longer phones.
Huh? They're not
they're not phones.
Yeah.
The last thing people do with them is make phone calls, right?
It's a world full of this.
Yeah, it's all stern. Snapchat selfies.
All communication's changing.
It is. It's fascinating to watch. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888. Ask Leo. Paul in Louisville, Kentucky. Hello, Paul.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Well, before I ask you my main question, I just want to say, anytime I hear you talk to Scott Wilkerson, I think he'd be very amused to watch a special you had on the old tech TV.
Yeah.
The special was about a new technology called HDTV.
Ooh.
Do you remember the show?
Yeah, it's probably the new Screensavers, yeah. I don't remember doing it, but...
It was a special program. It wasn't one of your regular...
Oh, it might have been an advertising thing, then.
Well, it was like a panel. You had a panel of...
Oh, my gosh. It's here. It's coming. HDTV, what do we do?
I've looked for it on YouTube, and I can't find it.
Yeah. You know, I wish everything that we did on Tech TV were available on YouTube, because... Just for the humor factor of, you know, seeing what we thought was cool 20 years ago.
I think he'd get a laugh out of it.
I think, though, you know, think about what it'll be like 20 years from now. You know, what we'll be looking back and saying, man, we should have stopped Google when we had a chance. I don't know. It's
well, like, you know, you were so, it was so new that you were really kind of making some critical remarks about it, like you didn't think it was going to work out or something, but that's how new it was. You know?
I hope I wasn't saying, oh, this is terrible, because I remember how incredible I thought it looked, but I probably was saying something like, but good luck finding any content for it. And that's true, again, right?
In a Circuit City, it was like $6,000.
Yeah, it's really expensive, and there's nothing to watch. And then that happened, and then there was a lot. Now everything's HD. Your phone. Your phone is an HD screen. And then 4K came out. Same thing happened. 4K, and this much more recently. There was no content. Now there's a lot more content. In fact, Hulu just announced they're streaming in 4K. Netflix streams in 4K. Almost everybody does now. Except your cable company.
I used to videotape your shows.
I wish you had a copy of it.
Yeah, that was great.
All that old Tech TV stuff is owned by NBC Universal, because Comcast bought it, and Comcast, of course, owns NBC. And initially, when people would upload those videos to YouTube, they said, no, you can't do that. They take them down. I think they've given up, because they have no value. Nobody, it's all nostalgia value. So if you've got tapes, folks... If you've got that one uploaded to YouTube, they're not going
to. Yeah, I'd love to see it.
Yeah, I give you permission. not that I have the right to, but I give you permission.
Okay, here's my main question.
Yeah.
You know, I've never heard you talk about this when you're talking about the security of VPNs, and I've often wondered it. You know, when you're at a coffee shop or a hotel or whatever, and you're using free Wi-Fi. Before you can connect your VPN, you have to get a connection for the Wi-Fi. So there's a period of time where you're unprotected. Is there a risk in that period of time before you connect your VPN? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do know what you're talking about. And this is something that I have inveighed against for years. It's something called a captive portal. We just haven't figured out a better way to do it. So the idea is, we're going to give you Wi-Fi, but before you use our Wi-Fi, we would like you to sign an agreement, maybe give us an email address, whatever. A web page that the user is obligated to view and interact with, perhaps agreeing to some terms, before they give you access. That's a captive portal. Okay. It's broken. It does not in any respect... adhere to any of the standards of the internet. It kind of breaks everything. And so there's all sorts of problems with a captive portal. You know, I'm sure you've tried to use one on an iPhone and then waited. Apple has this very interesting solution to captive portals. They actually have a site. I think it's captive.apple.com that will load up. And then Apple will go, the iPhone will go, I get it, and show you the captive portal and sign you in. Briefly, during that moment, your hardware is visible on that network, sort of, I guess. I mean, actually, it may not be fully visible because you haven't yet signed in. And perhaps you're slightly vulnerable. But the minute you turn on the VPN, that all goes away. So I wouldn't worry too much about that. You're only interacting with the captive portal. Right.
I noticed recently that I downloaded it. The Opera claims that it has a built-in VPN. Are you aware of that?
I am, and I don't recommend it.
Okay, I am.
So the original Opera VPN, first of all, I guess I should step back and explain a VPN briefly. Virtual private network. The idea is you're kicking the security and privacy can down the road. You're saying, well, I don't trust where I am right now, maybe because my internet service provider spies on what I'm doing and sells it. Many do. maybe because I'm at a coffee shop and I'm worried about that guy in the corner in the hoodie. So it might be security, might be privacy. So what you do with a VPN is you actually encrypt all your data to some other server out there in the real world, and that's where you emerge on the public internet. You have to be on the public internet at some point. You just don't have to do it from that coffee shop. So, but it does kick the privacy security issue down the road to the VPN server. They have all the rights and access that the coffee shop does or your ISP does. They're now the person putting you on the internet. So you have to trust them. Because if they decide to spy on you, or there are VPNs that will, through poor configuration, leak your information out to the internet. There are VPNs that will track what you're doing and sell that to any marketing firm that wants to know. There are even VPNs that will inject advertising into your VPN traffic. How is that a good thing? Well, none of it is. Opera's VPN, now I think they may have changed this. Initially, it's free, right? It isn't exactly a VPN. I think initially there was some concern about the service itself, like what was Opera up to, and giving it away makes me wonder. There's usually, because it costs money to run that server, a lot of money. So how are they monetizing that? Opera's a free browser, and they're giving you a free VPN. Well, somewhere in there, they're making money. And until I know exactly how. The other issue was initially the Opera VPN wasn't even really a VPN. It was a proxy service. I don't know if that's still the case. So
well,
that's,
let me ask you this, Leo. Is there anything that is lower risk when you, let's say, are using a public Wi-Fi? Let's say you're just watching a YouTube video, or you're just Googling. Is that, are you still?
Yeah, you're not. When you're, by the way, you'll notice when you're on YouTube, it's HTTPS, right?
Right.
That now, so that means that the access point you're on, the provider, whoever's providing that internet access, can see that you're at YouTube. They can't see what you're doing at YouTube. They can see what videos you're watching. That's encrypted, but that's between you and YouTube. And
well, it wouldn't be too much of a risk to watch a video or to do a Google search on a free Wi-Fi.
No, I don't think so. Google, you're encrypted to Google. Google knows what you're searching for, but that's always the case. By the way, even incognito mode in your browser doesn't hide you from
right.
Google. So Google knows what you're searching for. Google knows what videos you're watching, but the local guy does not. So anytime you're on, in fact, you shouldn't use email unless it's encrypted. You shouldn't go to the bank or buy stuff unless it's encrypted. But you'll see HTTPS. If you're really worried, make sure that certificate is from the company you're going to, not the coffee shop you're in. They're not doing a man in the middle. But as long as you're encrypted, they know where you're going. They know what they don't know what you're doing. And I think for a lot of people, that's sufficient. Hey, Johnny Jet Traveling Guy. How are you today?
Good. How you doing, Leo?
I'm doing great. We were talking about travel routers. So, yeah, you said when you were talking to that guy about using a VPN in a coffee shop, you didn't mention the most important thing. I don't know if it's the most important thing. It certainly is an issue. The notion that when you're sitting in a coffee shop with a Wi-Fi computer, in theory, a bad guy with the right kind of hardware can attempt to hack your computer. One of the hacks that they do is clever. And by the way, these devices, you can buy them online. One of them is called a Wi-Fi Pineapple. And what it will do is, if you're sufficiently skilled, if you have mad hacking skills, is you go out and you look at people's computers, and what you can get, I don't know how, but somehow you can get a list of the Wi-Fi access points they've joined. Look for the one that's their house, and then impersonate it. Impersonate it with a nice strong signal, and your computer's going to say, "Oh, we're home." And you know that you don't have to log in when you get home, right? Your computer just goes, "Oh, yeah, we're home," and joins that router. And now the bad guy pretending is impersonating your home router is, in fact, your man in the middle between you and the outside world, and he can do other things. That's pretty nasty, and I don't think it's very common, but you're right. You should worry about that, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely something to worry about. I mean, there's impersonators everywhere. I actually just got an email today from a reader saying that they saw pictures of me on some dating site.
Well, you're a good-looking guy. I would swipe right on you.
Yeah, but you know the problem is there. It's happened many times where people actually take my images, pretend they live the lifestyle
nothing
I live.
Nothing you can do. There's nothing. You're an influencer, right?
Well, it's disturbing.
I mean, it's incredibly disturbing.
Saying that their sister got divorced because she thought she was falling in love with me, and I was like,
"Oh Lord,
it's not that good looking."
Wait a minute, stop.
No, I'm not.
Stop just, the insanity.
The point is that I have all these photos of me traveling around the world, and anyway.
Oh, I get it. She wants the free ticket to paradise.
They're not looking about the looks. They're trying to get travel. Everyone
Johnny
wants
Jet.
Travel.
He's a ticket to paradise. Yeah, welcome. So this is something nobody talk. I'm going to talk about it, but nobody will talk about this. Everybody in the public eye. As soon as you get a TV show, you are subject to all sorts of Looney Tunes, stalkers, and nut jobs. Now that's always been the case, but now that there's the internet. It's much, much worse because these people don't have to be, you know, in Hollywood. They can be anywhere. And every single celebrity has professionals working for them, tracking, if they can afford it, you and I can't, but tracking down these people, putting them out of business, breaking legs here and there, whatever it is they need to do. It's a universal problem. Nobody talks about it because they don't want to, quote, feed the trolls.
Right.
But if you're in the public eye these days, you have trolls. Because it's just it makes it easy with the internet. So I'm sorry that happened to you, Johnny, but it's the price you pay. I think sometimes too high, frankly, for fame and fortune.
I'm glad I'm not a celebrity. I mean, honestly, would be, I don't know
imagine,
what you guys go through. Because I've had stalkers. I've had, you know, I get nasty comments, emails. I posted a picture
this
week of Jack and a big soccer star, Megan Rapinoe. And I got so many nasty comments.
Of course you did, because the world is full of nasty. It only takes 0.1%, but that's still millions.
Yeah.
So you've seen pictures of Keanu Reeves, right? The way now he poses for selfies. Because first of all, if you're a celebrity, used to be they'd ask for autographs. The bane of all celebrities now is everybody wants a picture.
Right.
Everybody wants a picture. And they all want selfies, which means you have to stand next to them, put your arm around them, wait for them to get their camera going and take the selfie. It's so annoying.
Yeah.
And then but the big fear now is because of Me Too. So you'll see every picture you'll see of Keanu Reeves. He's got his hand sticking straight out behind the person so that it's clear he is not engulfing him or her with his embrace.
Yep. He's smart.
I have to do that
before too when I've taken pictures. But
everybody, we should all do that now. In fact, I'm doing it to you right now. My hand is not touching you.
Right. That's why the smart celebrities, by the way, they grab your cell phone and say, let me take the picture, so they don't have to wait a minute for you to try and figure out.
I saw Joe Biden doing that at the debate. I thought, what's he doing? What's he doing? Does he think they don't know how to take selfies? He said, let me do it.
It saves time. It really does.
My advice to you, my friend, do not become famous.
I'm not trying to be.
You are. You're Johnny Jet.
No, I'm just trying to be – I try to put out good information that helps people travel, see the world.
Yeah, no, we're just trying to do the good work that we do, but we're not looking to be Keanu famous.
No, I've flown with Keanu, and I've gotten a picture with him on a plane once.
Oh, and did he touch you?
No.
No.
She didn't touch me. He's a nice guy.
He's a great guy. He's really, an amazing guy, and obviously smart.
I recognize him in the airport often. I hear his voice. That's how I recognize him.
You know what? I admire him. That means he's not doing what everybody else does, the private, you know, executive terminal thing.
No.
No.
I see big-time celebrities in
flying
LAX.
Commercial?
Almost every time I go. I had always. Almost always I see him.
Well, get ready because we're going to see deep fakes of everybody. We're going to, you know, these videos that look like that's, I mean, it's just, this is what I'm talking about. I don't think the problem with AI is going to be artificial consciousness. I think the problem with AI is humans using it in malicious ways.
Right. I'm with you. So how much time we have so I can give you either a website or an app?
2.5 minutes.
All right, so let's talk about this. Here's a way to save some money. It's called Pruvo, P-R-U-V-O.
P-R-U.
It's an app.
Yeah.
V-O. The website's pruvo.net.
Yeah.
So whenever you book a hotel room, there's a good chance the price might go down. So with these guys, as long as you book a non-refundable room, which is key. Sorry, refundable room.
Yeah, that's – I was going to say, it must be refundable. Yes.
Must be refundable. Then you forward it to save SAVE at pruvo.net.
Yes.
And they will monitor it for free. And then they will let you know if the price drops. And if it does, then they'll walk you through the steps, which is normally you would then
cancel your old reservation.
No, actually, don't cancel your old one. You first book the new one. Okay. And then cancel the old one to make sure that you don't get locked out.
I bet hotels hate this with a passion.
Of course they do, because the closer you get to your hotel arrival, you know, and they're not selling the room, they're going to want to lower it
to try and
sell it, because a hotel room that goes empty is just a lost revenue.
Yeah.
So this is a great way. It's a you can do it on the app to Android and iOS. Nice. And just download it and just forward it. Just
Pruvo.
Whatever. And you can book. You don't book through Pruvo. You book through whoever you want to book through.
They're normally. Just monitoring, so basic. It's a monitoring
Trivago,
service.
Trivago, whatever. They monitor it.
Yeah.
And then you just forward it. And
what's with this Trivago thing, by the way? I see that guy, the Trivago guy. I see him on TV. What is this?
I heard he's a really nice guy. I heard he lives in Germany. He's American.
I heard he got arrested on the highway because he passed out drunk. But that's another story for another day.
Is that in Germany or is that
Mr. Trivago? Maybe I'm wrong on that one.
I heard he lives in Germany, and I heard he's a really nice guy.
Okay, good.
But I've never met him.
Are they owned? Yeah, they're Expedia. See, that's the funny thing. You think, oh, I'm using Trivago. I'm not using Expedia. No, it's Expedia Group. They own half of them. And the other half is owned by another company. That's the weird thing. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Expedia owns Hotels.com, VRBO, Trivago, HomeAway, Orbitz, Travelocity, Hotwire, eBookers, and Cheap Tickets. That's all the Expedia group.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Take over the world. All consolidation.
My friend, I have used up all your time. Thank you. Johnny Jett. Go to JohnnyJett.com for great travel advice. So let me just read you this story, because he might be a nice guy. I'm sure he is a nice guy. He was arrested in Houston. I got to show you this, because this is the strangest thing I ever saw in my life. And I don't.
Recently?
This could happen to anybody. I'm just saying. This could happen to anybody. Police say they found the Trivago pitchman passed out in a car in a moving lane of traffic. That could happen to anybody. Okay, I'm just saying.
I don't know about that. That can't happen to anybody.
That could happen to anybody. I don't want to hold it against him. Anybody could pass out in a moving lane of traffic. He was apparently a little inebriated. He was passed out with his foot on the brake in a moving lane of traffic.
I have no respect for anyone who drives drunk.
He failed.
Especially these days.
He wasn't driving, Johnny. I want to point out. He was passed out with his foot on the brake.
Well, that's ridiculous. He should be arrested for that.
He was. He misdemeanor, driving while intoxicated.
That should not be a misdemeanor.
Yeah, that shouldn't be. They don't have the full details. But where did he come from? He's just some actor, right?
He's an actor.
Yeah. He's distinctive that you see this Trivago guy with his half-shaven little fuzz, and it's like, what the hell? Yeah.
You know, the person who worked on their campaign was telling me there was all these things. It was like, there was like a lot of thought into, should he wear a belt? Should he not wear a belt?
Oh, yeah.
Should he shave, not shave?
Yeah, they're trying to look like a real person. Apparently he was on The Cosby Show. Well, that explains a lot. And Law and Order. But, because every actor I know was at least a body on Law and Order or one of the cop shows, right? That's the job. All the beginning actors get.
I'm glad I'm not an actor.
Dead body number three. Did he start as a dead body, Kevin Costner?
Yeah, in the movie where they all got together back in the day, a movie where
Ocean's 8 or
way back. Close, they were all starting their career.
Oh yeah.
They had a reunion, the college.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That was a great movie. Oh yeah, yeah. That Costner was a dead guy. They were all there to talk. What was the name of that? Was a great movie. I loved that. Not my dinner with Andre or my weekend at Bernie's. Not either of those.
Weekend at Bernie's. That was hilarious.
Remember, asleep at the intersection with the light green.
Who?
Tiger Woods
was found asleep at an intersection with the light green. That's different, though. He was just tired. Anyway, Johnny, I don't know. I'm in a mood. You can tell, right? I'm in a mood.
I can definitely tell you.
You know when I'm in a mood. You've said before you're in a mood. I think it's related to this coffee. Keep Santa Cruz weird.
I was about to ask you, what are you drinking right
keep
now?
Keep Santa Cruz weird. I don't know. They just handed it to me.
Yeah, well, mm-hmm. I haven't been to Santa Cruz in a while. College, I played them in lacrosse. You know what their mascot is, UC Santa Cruz?
The banana slug. I know, because my dad was a professor there.
Oh, of course you know.
Yeah.
We're like, we're playing the banana slugs?
What? Did you beat them? I hope you beat the crap out of them.
I think I scored 10 goals that day.
I hope you beat the slime out of them. 10 goals. We did. Awesome.
Yeah.
So you were a lax bro.
Yes.
That
I played lacrosse in college. And
Johnny Jetski, the lax bro. You've really reformed.
You know, I tried. So, all right. Well, I hope you have a great week.
Bob Torbeck wants you to know he flew L.A. to Oakland, Long Beach to Oakland for $20 last week. Was that Southwest? Southwest?
JetBlue, probably.
JetBlue.
I thought it was a mistake.
Yep, they had a big sale.
Big sale. No, wasn't a mistake. Big sale.
Yeah, good job.
Is JetBlue Mint the best way to go San Francisco to Boston? We got a Boston event coming up.
That's a good way to go.
I think so. I like Mint.
You can get Mint. Yep.
All right. Thank you, my friend. The Big Chill was the name of that movie. Thank you very much. Arizona thematic. Take care, Johnny. Again with the Epson. Our Tech Guy podcast brought to you today by Ahrefs. And if you know about web design, you know that the A space href equals is how you put a link in your website. Well, Ahrefs is for you and your website. Whether you're a big brand, run your own small business, or do freelance work, getting traffic to the website, always a challenge. Ahrefs is here to help you. But I got to tell you, it's Ahrefs.com. Just want you to know, because I know you're going to look for it. You want to get the spelling right. So I'm going to call it Ahrefs, but it's spelled A-H-R-E-F-S, Ahrefs.com. This is an amazing SEO tool set for you to help you get the information you need to do a better job with your site, to rank higher on Google. Everybody wants to rank higher on Google. And there's a lot of snake oil sold, but these are the tools that actually work. They actually will help you. For instance, competitive analysis. Usually the reason you want to rank higher is your business is competing with another business. Our plumber says, well, how come when you search for Petaluma Plumber, I'm at the bottom of the page? I want to be at the number one. Well, there's a way to do it. You first start with competitive analysis. Use Ahrefs tools to show you how your competitors are getting that traffic. What's going on? What are they doing that you're not doing? You can see the pages and content that send your competitors the most search traffic. Oh, people really like those articles on how to change a washer and a faucet, for instance. I'm going to do some of those. You can replicate or improve on your competitors' strategies, but it's not just that. The Ahrefs tools will help you find topics worth creating pages or content on, what people are looking for. You could see estimated search volumes. You could gauge traffic potential. They have this great tool called the Keyword Explorer. You enter a keyword, you see what kind of traffic that could generate for you. And if you're already getting search traffic, data like Ahrefs' top pages report will help you break down which of your pages are bringing in the most traffic. This is a great tool set. Everybody, especially small businesses who are trying to make their way on the internet, really could use, and it's very affordable. If you want to learn more, go to their blog. It's at ahrefs.com. They also have a Ahrefs YouTube channel, so you could see their SEO tutorials step by step. Those are both absolutely free. But even the tools themselves are very affordable. $7 for a 7-day trial, $1 a day. Try it. See what you think. I think you're going to find a huge amount of value. Even in a week, you can get a huge amount of value and learn the stuff that will make your site sing. Ahrefs, ahrefs.com, ahrefs.com to sign up today. This is such a great tool. I've talked before about the notion of SEO, about what works and what doesn't work. I've never been a fan of the people selling SEO snake oil. This is the real deal. This really is great stuff. Very useful tools every webmaster should have. Ahrefs.com. It's spelled Ahrefs.com. If you speak HTML, you know what we're talking about. Ahrefs.com. We thank Ahrefs so much for their support. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888 Ask Leo. Dr. Mom is on the line. Everybody's favorite. What are you? Grandma, doctor.
Pain in the neck.
And no, you're our echo expert.
Well, I finally got my hands on the Amazon A-Word Auto. I got it this week.
I thought that that was the one where they had people sign up months ago to preview, and then and nobody ever got it. So finally, they're sending them out, huh?
I finally got it, installed it.
Does it go in your Does it go in your lighter jack? Where does it go?
They give you a lighter jack adapter. It plugs into USB, so if, like most modern cars, you have a USB port, you can just plug it into that.
Got it. Who is that? Wait a minute. Who's that in the background?
Well, let's see. We have my grandsons here.
Oh, hi.
Yes,
hi, baby. How old is your grandson? Not very old, right?
13 months.
Oh, what's his name?
Cameron.
Cameron. It's okay. Grandma's just talking to a weirdo on the radio. It's okay.
Well, he was looking at you before and laughing, so I think he appreciates that.
Yeah, it's the story of my life. So, what do you think?
It's interesting. It gives you voice control so that you don't have to be reaching down and touching things. What it does, it Bluetooth connects to your phone, and then your phone sends the sound to your car.
Yeah, so that's kind of what the ROAV did, the Vivo.
Right.
It's the same. So that's a little weird, but I guess your car doesn't have that computational power in some cases. So the phone does the work, and then you have to Bluetooth pair your phone to the car's speakers. So really, it's your phone you're talking to.
You're talking to your phone. However, it gives you all the commands that you would normally have if you were using the Amazon device. You can say, what's the weather? Interesting things, if you ask for directions, it'll fire up whatever app you specified on your phone.
Yeah.
And show you the directions. So I use Waze. I say, how do I get to the grocery store? Up comes Waze and shows me the directions. Oh, that's cool. And such.
Up comes Waze on your phone. So we should mention Correct. That Dr. Mom drives this antiquated kind of a vehicle called a Tesla that doesn't have Android Auto or Apple's CarPlay.
Right.
If you've got that, you don't need any of this, right?
Correct. I mean, it's interesting. If you can get it at the promotional price, which is 50% off, it's worth it. I'm not sure I would get it at the full price.
Yeah.
The other thing you have to remember, if you're not like me and don't have a grandfathered unlimited data plan,
Oy.
You can chew through your data very quickly.
Oh, I bet, yeah.
It uses your phone's data plan.
Yeah. Yeah, see, I had the ROAV Vivo, and I used it for a little bit, but I just, you know, of course, your Tesla has voice activation and maps and all of that stuff. And so most cars have these capabilities. This would be most valuable in an older car that didn't.
I think you're exactly right. I mean, it's interesting. I got it at half price. I'm probably going to take it out of the car in another week or so and put it on the shelf with electronics to be retired.
You're going to be like Dick DiBartolo soon with a gadget warehouse. You keep this up, Dr. Mom.
No. Right now, I have unpacked approximately 160 of 450 boxes, and I am hip deep in all the paper they stuff in these packing boxes.
75 of them with little ceramic statuettes, right?
No, but there's things like I uncovered a plastic tray, a disposable plastic tray. I have no idea where they backed it.
I know. Oh, man, you're living my life. I find stuff. And then the other side of that is, for instance, I was trying to get the Osmo. I have an Osmo gimbal arm for your phone that gives you super steady video. And I was going to bring that into work so that Misako, our social media director, could use it. And I couldn't find the charging cable because it was a weird charging cable that had a headphone jack at one end and a Type A connector. And I know I saw that somewhere. I said, "What is this?" And threw it out because I forgot. So I just I threw it out. I'm sure I did.
Sounds about right. I'm still looking for charging cords for some stuff. Thank goodness these days most things use the USB.
I save the wrong things. I have boxes full of chargers that don't go anywhere, that don't charge anything. And then the one thing I want to charge, I can't find that one. So
I may call you up and tell you what size and what power and see if you've got a charger for it.
I probably do. I have everything. It just doesn't, I don't have the thing they connected to. This is actually a pet peeve of mine, is these wall warts, these little plastic things you plug in the wall with chargers on the other end. Never say the company or, you know, what this goes to. They just say some random Chinese manufacturer's name, so you never know. And if I think about it, I'll get a Brother label maker and I'll put a label on there that says, you know, this goes to the Roku or something. But most of the time I don't. So I have all these random chargers. I have no idea what they belong to. And I don't dare throw them out because...
But you see, that would be intelligent and organized, and that's not me.
I know. And it's just a simple thing. Manufacturers, when you ship a power adapter for your device, put your name, put the device name. You could write it in a Sharpie. I don't care. Just please put it on the device so I don't have to. Dr. Mom, you're in San Diego yet? Have you moved yet?
Yep.
Good.
That's why I've got one suggestion. Remember that guy who called in the first hour asking about streamers? You can stream movies you bought on iTunes to a Roku.
Oh, how do you do that?
You do it.
Oh, Disney's Movie Anywhere. Movies Anywhere.
Correct.
Yeah.
It's not things you've rented, but movies you purchased.
Right.
You can stream.
I do that. And everybody, if you're not using Movies Anywhere, because movies you buy on Google, Amazon, Apple, Vudu, a huge selection of places where you can buy movies and TV shows. Does it do TV shows or only movies?
Anything you've purchased. So, example, Amazon Prime, it won't put movies you've marked in your library because they're on Prime. Those don't show
up.
Movies you've purchased.
You have to buy them.
But
then you can
TV
play them.
Show up if you
bought
them.
So you could put the Movies Anywhere app on your Roku, and now you can see your Apple movies.
Exactly.
Yes, I do that, and I think that, and it's free. It's a great service. I everybody should do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dr. Mom.
Well,
thank you, Cameron.
Okay, Cameron. Wave bye-bye to Leo.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, Cameron. Bye-bye. Let's say hi to Stephen in San Antonio. Hi, Stephen.
Yes, I'm glad Kim can understand tongue-tied. But anyway.
No problem. Go right ahead.
I want to find out, is it better to save my startup and all my programs on a separate disk, or should I take a picture of the hard drive and save that on the disk? Which is better, or are they the same?
That's a really great question. And they are different, and they have different purposes. So the snapping a picture, I love, that's a great image for it, is called, we call it imaging the hard drive. And what you're doing is making an exact mirror copy of everything on the hard drive, bootable mirror copy of everything on the hard drive. I do that when I first set up a machine, because that's, you know, I got it all perfect, it's clean, there's nothing, no bad stuff on it. So it's nice to have that, makes it for a quick reinstall, because you can get right back to that point. The nice thing about an image is you can blast it back on the hard drive quickly. Or if you get a new hard drive, you blast it onto the hard drive and you're up and running much faster than installing everything. So that's one advantage. The problem with that is that's frozen in time, right? So as you install new programs, create new documents and all of that, it's out of date. And it gets out of date really quickly. So for that, you need a file backup. You need an incremental file backup. I use both. I like to make images. In fact, you can make images every month. You can make an image so it's easy to go back a month. But you still need a file-by-file backup. I would highly recommend doing that. So do both, in other words, Stephen.
Yeah, that sounds really good.
Does that make sense? Yeah.
And just to give you a hint, I lost 70 pounds drinking ginger juice.
Oh, man. And you had a very calm stomach, too. Did you eat anything or just drink ginger juice?
No, I don't eat much anyway. I ordered child's plate.
A ginger juice and a child's plate to go, please. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Wow, I can't believe ginger juice. Is it really spicy, Stephen?
Yeah, I tend to make things spicy myself, and so yeah, it is spicy. And someone gave it to me because my throat was swollen shut.
Oh yeah, so it smooths it. Yeah,
it's cool. Yeah, but
I love ginger, but you're not talking like drinking Werner's ginger ale.
No, I buy 30-pound boxes and juice it.
Oh my God, do you peel it first?
No, I got it. Jack LaLanne, and with that, you don't have to peel it.
Okay, so it keeps the rind out. I'll have to check that out. And you just, it's just pure ginger juice?
Well, no. I mixed it with tea.
Oh, good. Thank God. That would kill you.
It's about 4-1, and people say it's strong. It's, you know, 4 parts of ginger to 1, and people think it's strong. You just have to make it the way you can handle it.
I love ginger, though. I mean, I think ginger's delicious, so maybe I'll try that.
Well, I also do put some
Splenda.
Yeah, yeah, you have to sweeten up a little bit. But that's not bad.
So, I lost 25 pounds the first month, and nobody could figure out why, and then I kept losing weight. And I can't guarantee you it was a ginger, but I'm 70 pounds lighter.
That's an amazing weight loss. That's awesome. Congratulations.
Yeah. The doctors were worried, but I'm still healthy. And my skin is, everybody says my skin is healthy, too.
Were you must have been 70 pounds overweight, right?
I was at 225.
How'd you get to 225 if you only ate child's portions?
Well, that was before I learned.
Oh, that was when you ate grown-up portions.
Yeah. You got to chew slow and
yes.
Eat. I get small paper plates or whatever, and I put my meals on there, and you just got to learn how to eat.
Bless you. Congratulations. That's awesome.
Yeah, thank you. Well, thank you for answering my question.
My pleasure.
The thank you for giving me the advice on the Trex Air, because that's what I'm talking to you with right now.
You love it?
Yeah, oh, I love them. Oh, I love them.
That sounds great. I would have no idea. I think those Trex are incredible.
The Aftershocks headphones. But I didn't like them.
Yeah, I saw they have that. I like just what you have, the little Airs that go around your head, and you can wear them all day. You don't feel them.
Yeah, the sunglasses go on the little cartilage on the back at the end of your earlobe.
Does that work? Does it sound good or no?
It sounds good, but it's kind of hard to keep them snapped in, and other people can hear the sound. And my daughter complained about it, so I didn't like them as good as I do these headsets.
I live in my Aftershocks, so that's good. I should mention they're a sponsor, but I still like
I do too. Yeah. I do too.
Good. Hey, nice to talk to you, Stephen. Have a good one.
Yeah, you too.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk computers, the internet, home theater, digital photography, smartphones, smartwatches, all that jazz. Anything we talk about on the show, by the way. And when I give out links and all that stuff, that'll be at the website, techguylabs.com. Techguylabs.com. Line 2, Donna, Hudson, Florida. Hello, Donna.
Hey, Leo. Thanks for taking my call.
Nice to meet you. Thanks for calling. What can I do for you?
Okay, I'm looking for a new processor for our small home business. My husband needs a new laptop. We're not Apple fans. So I don't want Mac. I don't want anything. I'm familiar with the HP, the Asus, little laptops, whatever. But do you have any good brands that you could recommend or you suggest?
Yeah, for small businesses. I mean, the best deals and fairly good support are available at your big box stores. You know, your Sam's Club, your Price Club, your Costco. They aren't the top-of-the-line machines. They're often either a slow seller for the companies or maybe last year's model, but because they have great return policies and usually very good support, it's a good place to get a great deal. So if price is really important to you, try the big box stores. The companies I recommend are HP, mm-hmm. Dell. They'll have both models at any big box store. And of course, you can always go online and buy these too, but HP, Dell. If you want to spend a little bit more and get something really rock solid. Do you want a laptop or a desktop?
We need both.
Okay. For the Lenovo ThinkPad laptops are my first choice, last choice, and only choice when I buy a laptop. I really like them. But Lenovo's desktops, maybe not so much. What we use here in our offices is Dell desktops. Okay. All of our editors are using Dell workstations for doing the video editing.
Right. We do a lot of that. I take 2,000-3,000 pictures a week at our writer classes, burn discs, send them to customers.
What's your business?
Ride like a pro. My husband's a retired motor officer, so we teach civilian riders how to ride like us.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I wish you should be... Teach every motorcycle rider in the entire country, please.
Yes, we do. We have videos. We published a book. We have a big YouTube following on Ride Like Pro.
I see people do such crazy things.
I see it every week in our classes.
It makes me so sad because I know that, yeah, they're going to get away with it maybe today, but maybe not forever. It's not safe.
It's called dumb luck.
It's dumb luck.
Yes, yes, because they come pulling into the parking lot. They can't turn the bike. They're dragging their feet.
And my a guy's got an 800-pound bike.
These guys have been riding for 30 years.
Right, of course.
And I get on the bike. I have a big electric glide. My husband drives me. So they think that, okay, she can't do anything. I get on. I say, follow me through the course. And it's because they bring their wives, and they want to ride through the course with their wives. They think they're experts, and it's insane.
It's got to be embarrassing.
Right, well, the first exercise, they're way behind.
Here goes Donna on her electric glide, just going zip, zip, zip through the slaloms and stuff.
And I say, you just sit here, and when you get a little, as we're progressing through the class, how about you put your wife on if we see your skills
That's
improving?
Nice.
But it's a lot of fun. We're blessed.
Is your husband Jerry Motorman Palladino?
Yes, sir.
Living legend.
Yeah, that's him.
RideLikeAPro.com. I'll give you a big fat plug for that one. So,
thank you.
Yeah, I wish everybody would take your classes. At least watch the videos and learn.
Yep. We love what we do. We're blessed. And there's so many riders that he's helped. And
yeah.
I mean, it's just.
Well, I'm sure as a motorcycle officer, he saw all his crazy bad behavior.
Yes. And that's when he said he really learned how to ride. He thought he knew how to ride 25 years before he became a motorman. He said the first day at training with the Highway Patrol here in Florida, he said he knew nothing.
Yeah.
It was a real eye-opener. He came home. He said, "Hun, we got to teach this to everyone we know." So that's where our little...
My wife rides, she's taken classes, but I said, "You've got to really learn before I'll let you go out on that thing." But it's funny because I often will ride behind motorcycle officers and I think, you know what? They don't get hurt. They must know what they're doing. There's got to be something that they do right.
Three motor techniques. They've been teaching it to cops for over 65 years. And the general public, when they see us turn, they think I'm a cop, which is a wonderful thing. And I'm like, no, I'm
because you do the right thing. You do the correct thing.
Like, how did you do that?
Hey, what should auto drivers know about motorcyclists? What should we be paying attention to help it be safer for them?
Put your phone down.
Yes.
Put it down.
Pay attention.
Yes, just please. It's like, you got to have my head's on a swivel every Sunday coming home from our class.
Yeah, me too. So I'm driving. I'm always checking the mirrors. I see somebody behind me is lane splitting. What should I do? Should I slow down, pull over? Should I just drive straight? What do I do?
Well, when people see here in Florida, we can't lane split. I wouldn't do it if it was allowed.
It's legal in California. I see people at 70 miles an hour lane splitting.
Yeah. Yeah, as far as we're concerned, it's deadly. It's dangerous. If you don't know what you're doing, a lot of the crotch rocket riders, they do everything fast.
But the problem is, you might be perfect, but you don't know what that motorist is going to do in his car.
Exactly.
He could go 6 inches to the left and you're squished.
Yes, and a lot of the guys are sitting in traffic, automobiles. They see a guy coming up, split in the lane, and they open their doors and kill the guy.
Yeah.
So it's just people are crazy, Leo. So
you know what? It's because they're young and they don't know they're mortal.
They don't know.
They think nothing's ever going to. And I know way too many 19-year-olds who are no longer with us.
Right.
Because they thought, nothing can happen to me.
Yes, indeed.
That's so sad.
So,
well, anyway, I want to help you. So I think Dells are great. In fact, the easiest no-brainer is just say Dell.
Okay.
And go and you know what? If you're doing it as a business, call them, go through their business office, or get a discount. They'll help you. They'll consult with you. You the XPS laptops are the best laptops, really good laptops, beautiful. The Dell desktops, the workstations are very good. I think for the kind of stuff you're doing, that's the easiest, most straightforward way to go forward.
Wonderful.
Yeah, there are other names that are great, but I don't want to disparage Lenovo or HP. They're good too, but Dell is really great for business. That's what we use.
Because my husband would not let me leave the house until I called you.
Oh, bless him.
You call Leo the tech guy. We listen
bless
to
him.
You. He's always out in the garage with the bikes doing this or that. And I said, what? I said, I listen to him when I'm running to Publix.
That's hysterical.
And I said, that guy on the
tech guy? You should ask him. He doesn't seem like he knows anything. I'm the motor man of technology, baby.
So I am gladly sitting here on hold for a long time waiting to hear, because this is a big deal for us. We have to get the right equipment, and it makes my life a lot easier.
Awesome. Well, next time I'm in Hudson, I'm gonna look you guys up, RideLikeAPro.com.
You bet.
And everybody who does ride should at least look at the videos. They're on YouTube, yeah?
Yes, and we have our website, RideLikeAPro.com.
Good. Glad to give you a plug, because that's really for everybody's benefit, whether you ride or not.
Right, yep. Right.
Awesome.
Thank you, Leo. You have a great week.
My pleasure. Thanks for your patience, Donna.
You're welcome, dear.
All right. Bye. Take care. I love it. You won't catch me on one of those things for $1 million. I've ridden a motorcycle. It's like flying, I can understand the appeal, but no. John in Mangum, Oklahoma. Hey, John.
Hey, Leo. I followed up on our last call from last week.
I remember talking to you. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to get to Mint Mobile. I need to have T-Mobile to do that. And so I went to T-Mobile. And on their website, they sell an Alcatel 3T 8-inch tablet.
Oh, perfect.
Which has 2 gigabytes of RAM and 16 megabytes of ROM.
So this is a low-end tablet. It shouldn't be very expensive.
$168.
Okay, that's pretty good. Somebody reminds me that I meant to tell you this last week. AT&T does have a free tablet deal. It's probably a comparable lower-end tablet. But you just wanted to do, remind me what you wanted to do with this tablet. It was very simple, right?
Yeah, my wife wants to be able to stream videos.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, for streaming videos, you could also look at the Fire tablets. The Amazon Fire tablets are HD, are very inexpensive and fine for streaming video. But I think that Alcatel would also be, you know what, go to the T-Mobile store. Say, can I fire up Netflix and see what it looks like?
Well, that's what I did. I went to the T-Mobile store and they said, The tablet that we have that's also a phone is this Alcatel 3T.
How big is the screen?
It has 3T, 4G, and LTE.
Yeah, yeah.
And the other thing I need to know, it has a UBS, a USB port. It also has a Bluetooth 4.2. Now, my wife wants to do an external keyboard, so is she better off with a Bluetooth or
Bluetooth.
A USB?
Bluetooth
external?
Would be easier. Bluetooth would be easier. So, yeah, you could just, because you probably also have these, these keyboards are everywhere. USB is a little more tricky and not necessarily going to work because you have to have a driver for it. The only thing to remember is if you go to the T-Mobile store, that price may mean you have to buy T-Mobile service. So you want to make sure that that's not with contract.
Own, right?
Well, if it's with contract, that means you're on T-Mobile. Mint is reselling T-Mobile, but they're not T-Mobile. They're
I understand.
They're a customer. T-Mobile has their own Metro PCS is the T-Mobile. I believe that's the name of it. I can't remember, but it's T-Mobile's own low-cost carrier version. Metro by T-Mobile, yeah.
Oh, okay. But once I buy the device, I own the device, and since it's T-Mobile compatible, I can go to Mint and say, you know.
Yeah, as long as T-Mobile doesn't charge you for early expiration of your contract.
Well, I'm not going to make a contract. I'm going to get
it. Yeah, if you can get it at the door, that price, no contract, it will absolutely work with Mint.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. You should look, though, at, boy, I'm going to have to check on that. We should mention Mint's a sponsor of some of our podcasts. I have to check on that. I don't see any reason why they would treat that differently than a phone, but I would call and ask just to make sure.
Okay.
They don't know it's, they don't think they know it's not a phone.
Yeah, well, the girl was a little bit confused whether it was a phone or not. She didn't even know if it had a speaker, and I can tell her by going on.
Well, all you have to do is plug in headphones if it doesn't have a speaker.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Anyway, my one other question is, when I get the Bluetooth external keyboard, they have some that roll up, you know.
Yeah.
Are those any good?
Yeah, if you don't mind typing on rubber.
Yeah, well, it's better than typing with your thumb.
Some people don't like it. I don't mind it. But, you know, they also have fold-up ones that are not quite so, they're not rubber. They have little pocketable fold-up ones. I would take a look at those.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is a very populous category, these little, and they're not expensive. So if you hate it, you know, it's not the end of the world.
Get a different one.
Yeah. All right, John.
Okay, well, this has been very helpful. Thank you again.
My pleasure. Always a pleasure. Thanks for calling. Take care. 8888 Ask Leo, the phone number, if you want to call and talk high tech. I am here. Dick DiBartolo is here, the former GizWiz. I guess he's still our Gizwiz, the former Mad Magazine's maddest writer. Still a little grieving over the demise of Mad Magazine. But Dick will have a gizmo for us in about half an hour. Stay right here. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888. Ask Leo. We're talking high tech on a beautiful afternoon. Tom in Riverside, California. Hey, Tom.
Hello, Leo.
Welcome. Thanks for hanging on. I apologize for keeping you on hold so long.
Well, my problem is I just upgraded from a Galaxy S4 to a S9. And when it was going through the setup, it asked me to put in my Gmail account and so on and so forth.
Android phones, typically you'll log into your Google account because that's kind of where everything lives.
Right. Well, the problem is I didn't notice it, but when I typed in my email, I hit a wrong digit.
Uh-oh.
Went ahead and completed it, and now it won't let me change it.
Oh, come on. It won't let you change it.
Yeah, in fact, I tried to go back before I hit the finish button, and it wouldn't even let me go back to change that. I could change the password, but I couldn't change the email address. So now I'm stuck with an email address.
No. So what you do is you go into settings on your phone, and you go into accounts. I think it's on my phone, on my S10, it's accounts and backup. It might be changed, but it will certainly, there'll be something that says accounts. And then you look at your accounts, and you'll have all the accounts that you've connected to that phone. One of which will be your Google account.
And
so you see it right there. Remove account. Once you tap it, there's a button that says remove account.
Oh, okay.
Now, that's going to delete the contacts, the address book. But you know what? They weren't anything you wanted because they were a made-up account.
Exactly.
It asked you for a password and it accepted it?
Yes. It was asking me to create.
Oh, you got to the create page. Yeah. So this is actually an interesting question. What would happen if you tried to use an Android phone without a Google account? I think it would say you can't. You have to create an account. So,
My S4, I didn't have an account.
Interesting. The advantage of it is there's advantages and disadvantages. The disadvantage, obviously, is Google gets everything. Everything you do, everything in your address book, everything in your calendar. The Goog knows all. The advantage of it is that you'd go to a new phone, you log into your Google account, there's your address book. Do you remember the old days when you got a new phone, you had to somehow re-enter all your phone numbers into it? How did we survive? So this way you don't have to do that anymore anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, you just go all into accounts, find that account, remove it. It may say, I would do it, except I'm afraid on my phone, I don't want to have to set it all up again. It may say, okay, but we're going to have to remove everything and start over. But that's what you want.
Right.
Because there's nothing in there that you don't want.
Okay. Yeah, there's just some minor and major differences between this phone and my old one.
Yeah. But it's the more modern. Yeah, it's going to have a more modern version of Android, which is good for you. It's more secure, but admittedly, a new user interface. This is just life.
Yeah.
This is just life
anymore.
In the technology world, it's because it's run by a bunch of 25-year-olds, so they have no history, right? Everything's new to them, so they don't think it's a big deal. New? So what? Everything's new. Now, as we get a little bit older, we like things the way they were. We don't like things to change. Too bad, because the world's run by 25-year-olds.
Yeah. Well, next week I'll be 72, so I fit that category of older.
You know, so I'm 62, and I've now decided that while I am old, and you too, we are young old.
Exactly.
We're not old, we're young old, okay? I just wanted everybody to know that.
With that.
Hey, it's great to talk to you. Have a great day. Leo Laporte, the young old tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. A little love and affection coming your way from the Tech Guy Show. And Big Pee-wee, our musical director. Debbie in Mission Viejo, California. Hello, Debbie.
Hi, Leo. Hey. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks so much for calling.
Sure. I have a Chromebook probably around 2 years old, and I got the big yellow X
exclamation point, Chrome OS is missing or damaged.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Good and news. Good news.
Please.
It's easy to fix. News? No, it's great news. It's easy to fix.
Well, okay. So I did the Chromebook recovery utility, which failed several times, but I finally got a successful load onto my USB stick. But then when I put into the Chromebook, I get an unexpected
error. Yeah, wait a minute. You don't need to do that.
Oh, my goodness.
There's something built into Chromebooks called power washing.
Okay.
And even if you can't log in, usually you can power wash it. You never get to a screen at any time? Do you get to a sign? You don't get to a sign-in screen?
No, never.
Oh, okay. Then you did do what you had to do, because if you can get to the sign-in screen, you can reinstall. You can do a fresh install. That's called a power wash of Chrome OS. Very simply, very easily. You don't even have to be logged in. However, if you can't even get to the login, who makes this one?
Asus.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes there is a reset button on these things. They haven't done hardware reset, though, in quite a while. So I'm just checking to see if there's a hardware reset. You might have to make the other thing is it may be something more serious that's wrong. It may actually have died. So
yeah,
so,
and the strange thing is my brother has one, too. And about a week later, he got the message.
Okay. So
I thought, is this common in Chromebook?
Here's what you want to do. Okay. I think this works on the Asus. There are you're going to have do you have four fingers?
Yes.
Okay. I just read that when Mel Brooks did his hands in the cement at the Grauman's Chinese Theater, he got a prosthetic 11th finger just to screw with people. So I'm just checking. I want to make sure you have all your fingers. So you're going to press it's four. You need four keys: the Control key, the Alt key, the Shift key, and the R key. So when you see that yellow triangle, just shut off your machine all the way off. Press and hold the on-off button till the whole thing dies. There's no lights, nothing.
Okay.
Press the on button while holding Control-Alt-Shift-R. Unless, and it is possible, this can happen, a stray electrical signal or something got into the firmware, the software that's in the physical hardware of the machine, and zapped it. Mm-hmm. It should, at that point, put up a box that says, "Oh, you want to power wash me?" And you say, "Yes, I do." And that will erase the hard drive, put a whole fresh, the latest version of Chrome OS on it, and it should be okay. If that does not do it, then what has happened apparently is there's a physical hardware malfunction of some kind. And, you know, like any computer, especially laptops, because they get beat up a little bit more than desktops, something bad could happen.
Right. All right, so do you suggest buying another Chromebook if this doesn't work?
Oh, I love Chromebooks. I am all in on Chromebooks. Did you find that it suited? Did it do everything you needed to do for the last 2 years?
Yeah, I don't do a lot on it, just search, emails and search.
I'll do my little speech for all the people listening. My little speech is, in the old days, people still are living in 1998. In the old days, when you wanted to buy a computer, you had to buy a computer with an operating system that could run programs you download from the internet. You'd get in a Ziploc bag from the software store or whatever. You had to have a thing, and you either had Windows or Mac OS, and it was very complicated. And people are still in that mindset. Some people need that. If you're designing rocket ships to the moon, maybe you need that. If you're doing accounting and bookkeeping, maybe you need that. Maybe not.
Right.
But
right.
Most of us, what we do lives mostly on the internet, lives on the cloud. It's surfing the internet, buying stuff, checking our email. All that stuff is out there. It's not down here.
Exactly.
And why do you need this operating system that you use to design rocket ships to get your email? You don't. And the complexity of these operating systems, Mac or PC, is such that you've got a lot of, you have to be an expert. You have to know how to keep it secure. You have to know how to keep it working and all that stuff. So for most of the world, either an iPad or a Chromebook is everything you need. It's much, much, much more secure. It's rare that these problems happen, But, you know, maybe something shook loose. It can happen.
Right. I just thought it was strange that my brothers went out a week later the same way. So.
Well, maybe there's something in these Asuses. I mean, they are out of warranty. So, you know, maybe there's something in them that the flash memory doesn't survive or something. I don't know.
Okay. Well, I'll try what you said.
Control-Alt-Shift-R. Think of it as repair. Yeah.
All right.
And on most Chromebooks, that'll fix it. Yeah, I hope it fixes it for you. Because now the nice thing is they're not expensive.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
So if you need a new one. But yeah, I would stick with it as long as it did everything you wanted it to do. We have to get out of this mindset. Because and by the way, Microsoft even realizes this. Microsoft, trust me, in a few years, they're going to stop selling Windows. It isn't. We don't need operating systems anymore. Some people do. Programmers, maybe, although I know a lot of coders who use Chromebooks. Rocket ship designers, maybe, although why you couldn't do that in the cloud, I don't know. I think you could. And even with Google now, they're doing a gaming solution that you can do on a Chromecast, you can do on your phone because all of the computing is on Google's side in the cloud. You get a fancy game machine in the cloud. They maintain it, they run it, they patch it, they keep it secure. If the hard drive fails, they put a new one in. You don't do any of that. That's going to be a gaming service Google's going to offer starting next year called Stadia. That's the future. And when I say that, there's lots of people said, well, in fact, remember at the beginning of the show, I was talking about Corby, the guy who invented time-shared computing. And you're going to say, well, we don't want to go back to that, the old days of timeshare where I have a dumb terminal and the computer's some remove and I'm using some distant computer. Well, you're not, you know, we did. We got to a period of time where you had your own processor, your own memory, your own computer. But there's a lot of complexity and downside to that. What if you could have all the power, all the speed, all the flexibility of a computer, but you didn't have to have that device on your desk waiting to get hacked? Wouldn't that be better? It's where we're going. It's the future. I think you will be very happy in most cases. Now, if you're a gamer, well, you're either going to wait for Stadia, which will work great on a Chromebook, by the way. Absolutely beautiful. You'll be able to play top-flight AAA games on a Chromebook. Or you're going to get a Windows machine, but good luck. Windows is designed... honestly, is designed for a business that has an IT department. It is not designed for a home user. It's just not safe for a home user. It's too powerful. It's too complex. You want something simpler. Now, the recovery tool that she made is available from the Chrome store. You can make a USB key. You don't need to do that, though. The Control-Alt-Shift-R. That's built in. That'll do it automatically. It's effectively the same. The reason that it's better is because if you're going to do the Chromebook recovery utility, you have to know the exact make and model of your Chromebook so you get the right firmware. And that's a little more complicated. The whole idea, Google's whole idea, and I commend them for this, is to make this human scale easy to do. You don't have to think about it. And I think they've done a very nice job with Chrome OS. 8888 Ask Leo, guess who's coming up? Dick DiBartolo, Mad Magazine's, I don't want to say it, formerly Mad Magazine's maddest writer. But he's still our gizmo wizard right after this. Leo Laporte, boom, boom, boom. The tech guy, boom, 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 boom. I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. Dick DiBartolo is here, Mad Magazine's maddest writer. We call him our gizmo wizard, the gizwiz, gizwiz.biz. Hello, Dickie D.
Leo, how you doing?
Is the handkerchief dried out from all the tears shed?
Yeah, well, you know, I have a new gadget that helps blow the tears from my eyes.
We're talking about the demise of the greatest magazine humankind and teenage boys have ever created. Mad Magazine, AT&T, the Death Star, well known for their loathing of anything good, kind, generous, and sweet, have destroyed the greatest magazine ever known. It's over for Mad Magazine.
They're on their way destroying it.
Well, they're going to do best of.
It'll be dead at Christmas.
Yeah, that's nothing.
Right, we have two more full issues, and then...
But you already did it, right? It's done. It's in the can.
I've written them. They're not out yet.
Right. Well, that's a relief. But that's just a lingering death instead of a quick guillotine to the neck. I feel like we should figure out a way to save it. Jeff Bezos, I know he's a regular listener to this show. Bill Gates, I know he and Warren Buffett are playing bridge right now listening to the tech guy. How much would it cost? What do you think the operating budget of Mad Magazine was, for crying out loud?
You know, I have no idea.
Nothing to these guys. What's the point of being a billionaire if you can't blow a couple of hundred million here or there just for fun? I bet you. There's somebody out there who's going to save Mad Magazine. I know that DC, owned by AT&T, DC Comics, which is owned by AT&T, has the rights to all the intellectual property. But you could.
Everything that's been printed, they own.
You could call it something else. Call it angry.
Angry. What? I'm damn mad.
I'm damn mad. Seems like there's some. Anyway, all right, what's your gadget?
Oh, okay. So since we're in the heat of the summer, I have something. The wearable sports fans. You want fans?
Yes.
You want fans to follow you everywhere?
Yes.
So these are two mini fans.
Are you wearing? Is that what you're
wearing?
I'm wearing.
Can you not? I just turned them on.
It's blowing at me.
And that's low. That's
very
medium.
Cool. Very cool.
And get ready for.
Oh, my goodness. Does your head snap backward when you turn it on hot?
Not quite. Not. So they don't put out a ton of air.
These look like headphones, but they're around your neck.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And actually, you have to put them, you have to slide them down to your neck and then put them on, because the neck thing doesn't open wide enough to put them over your head. But once they're on your neck, the fans themselves are on like 2-3 inch wires, so that you can bend the fans to face it.
But
any
here's
direction.
The problem, Dick. It's not blowing at you, it's blowing over your shoulder.
Well, no, now I'm facing it up toward me.
Oh, good. They can pivot.
Look at this.
Oh, now it's going. You're getting the best chin cooling any man's ever had.
Dennis said if you put them one on each side on the subway, two people would lean in.
Yeah.
Their heads right up against
you. That's how you make friends.
Cool. Sorry about that you aren't.
Making friends on the New York City subway.
And they'll run 5 to 10 hours. Actually, it has an 1,800 milliamp rechargeable battery.
I
kind of
want these.
You don't want them?
I do.
Oh, okay. Well, Leo, I bought them for $17. And then the next day, you know, when you buy something, they said, since you bought this, you might be interested in this for $11. And I said, wait a minute. I think they're the same things I just bought for $17. So I bought them just to make sure. And they are identical. Now, if you want to order them, I believe they are down to $7.
This is Amazon's weird computerized pricing model.
Yes. Now, the thing that has changed is the $10.99 ones I bought, I got the next day. This says free shipping. And when I clicked on through, I believe they were going to be here by August 20th.
Just in time for winter.
Just in time for winter. You can put little heaters, put candles behind them so they blow heat. For $13 on Amazon, you can still get them for Prime,
Do they actually work? I mean, do they actually?
You know, it's not a ton of air, but I was talking to my spouse, Dennis. He said, you know, if you were in a hot subway and the air conditioning was out, you would pay $100 for these.
You'd pay anything.
Yeah. Or he said on a hot beach, these would be super.
Do you remember? Are you old enough to? You must be old enough to remember where the movie theaters would have like icicles on the sign saying, come inside, it's cold inside, that kind of thing.
Before air cool.
Before people had AC in the home, you'd go to the movies just to stay cool.
Well, you know, didn't they dump ice into trays and blow fans over?
Oh, it wasn't air conditioning. Wow.
That's what I read, that the first way to keep cool.
You know how they're making money, because I just bought two of them so that they make the same $17.
Oh, you did get them. All right.
Oh, yeah.
What colors? They come in many colors.
I got them in ice blue because that looks cool.
Oh, okay. That's cool. That's very good.
I'm wearing them to the fair.
I'm wearing it to the disco.
Is there a disco left somewhere?
Well, you know, the Monster does disco every Tuesday and every Sunday. I'm going to be a big hit with them. The guy said, "Where'd you get this great earphone?"
Really, they look like earphones, but they're blowing air instead.
Yes, exactly.
I love it. Well, Dickie D, you'll find, I mean, Dick is still in business. Don't think he's not. Gizwiz.biz is his website, GIZWIZ.biz. If you want to see more about these fans, he's got links there. In fact, that's the way to buy it, as I did. Go to gizwiz.biz, click the Leo, Dick, you're called Dick, I'm called Leo. Dick visits the tech guy, and then click through on his link to Amazon, because I would bet you make a little money when they sell these.
Yeah, I get a credit.
Yeah, like 5 cents. Yeah. But hey, it all adds up.
I know. I spend a ton of money on Amazon, so it helps.
Yeah, get a little Amazon credit. You can also click the What the Heck Is It game. Dick is still giving away copies of Mad Magazine. Whoa, this is the new one as of July 1st. I haven't seen this one yet. It looks like an Exocet missile launcher. I don't know what
that's
this is.
That's a good guess. Yeah. That's a good guess.
It looks like a shoulder-mounted, I don't know.
Yeah. Did you know what the other one was?
It's a shoulder-mounted lawn dart. What?
Oh, okay.
What was the other one? Oh, it was a tomato or a grape slicer.
Yeah.
What the what?
Only two people got it.
Yeah. No. Well, how often do you need to slice grapes? Do you need a dedicated grape slicer device?
Well, you know, I think they're called grape tomatoes. They're tiny, tiny tomatoes that you slice up with this and put in salads.
Yeah, I like the little tomatoes. I mean, yeah. They're full of flavor. But, you know, you do need this because when you try to slice them with a knife, half the time they pop out from under your knife and you slice
them. There you go. And you thought it was silly.
No, this is good. If you do a lot of slicing of cherry tomatoes or grape tomatoes, you need the tomato grape slicer.
Perfect.
Okay, so two people got the Mad Magazine for the right answer. But one of the nice things is...
I just gave 16 to the...
Yeah, it's very generous. He gives autographed copies of Mad Magazine the wrong answers to. All the rules are on the site, gizwiz.biz. Don't forget Dick's podcast. It's a great one, gizwiz.tv.
Thank you, sir. You're a generous person.
Somebody has a great idea for this. It looks kind of like a lawn spike or something like that. He said, this is what the guy who decided to cancel Mad Magazine should be using as a chair. And I agree.
Very good.
I agree. We're out of time. How time doth fly. I thank you so much for being here. Thanks to Big Pee Wee, our musical director, to Kim Schaffer, the phone angel. And thanks to you for joining me. I'm Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Have a great Geek Week. Well, that's it for the Tech Guy Show for today. Thank you so much for being here. And don't forget, TWIT, T-W-I-T. It stands for This Week in Tech, and you'll find it at twit.tv, including the podcasts for this show. We talk about Windows on Windows Weekly, Macintosh on Mac Break Weekly, iPads, iPhones, Apple Watches on iOS Today, Security on Security Now. I mean, I can go on and on and on. And, of course, the big show every Sunday afternoon, This Week in Tech. You'll find it all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next week with another great Tech Guys show. Thanks for joining me. We'll see you next time.